you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. I usually come on at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm a little late today for a couple of meetings, and I'm still getting myself together. We had a very special show today. We're going to talk about crazy people. Nuts, schizoid, criminals, you know, our kind of people. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. We are worldwide. We're still getting a lot of great response from our Latino. He's from Argentina. And our interview is still growing, man. And my God, Patricio, that interview was maybe Monday. And it's still going on. And I was worried about it because I don't speak Spanish, but we did it. We did it together. He came through. Patricio Crisol, C-R-I-S-O-L. And his music, even though it's he's from Argentina, the Argentina flavor, it's cool, man. I'm going to put that in a little bit. It's still growing. I wouldn't be surprised this guy going to the top of the charts from coming on the show. Here's the title. This is what we're going to be talking about. Yee, he changed his name to Yee, Y-E. Kanye West, Kanye West, whatever, Kanye West. But we'll call him Yee now. What the fuck? Kanye West, what the fuck? The fuck? What the fuck? We're going to go through some stuff. I can't even explain it, but we're going to talk about him. You know, it's funny. If I give you a trivia, who made more or who's worth more? Who do you think is worth more, Beyonce or Kim Kardashian? Beyonce or Kim Kardashian? Who's worth more? Who would you think is worth more? You would not believe it, but Kim Kardashian is worth a lot more than Beyonce. Beyonce is worth $500 million. She's worth $500 million. I mean, she's worth half $1 billion. But Kim Kardashian is a billionaire, believe it or not. So all the hits and all the bullshit, Miss Thang, Miss Beyonce, Miss Queen, and don't touch me, don't look at me, $500 million. I mean, $500 million is nothing to smirk about. You cannot spend $500 million in your lifetime. I'm telling you, you cannot spend $500 million in your lifetime. It's impossible. But Kim Kardashian never had a hit song, never toured, never in concert. She did one production, I mean, the X-rated tape, but that was out of her home. She did her little TV show. Just brilliant. Say what you want about the Kardashians. Brilliant marketing people. Say what you will. Just absolutely brilliant. I don't know enough about the Kardashians. Kylie, I think it is. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. She's a billionaire, too. She's a billionaire. I don't know how old she is. Maybe she's in her 30s. I don't know. I'm not watching the Kardashians. I mean, a lot of you people, you haters, calling them jokes and everything, but you can't ignore the fact that, my God, they came from nothing and they made billions, billions of dollars. You cannot spend that much money. You cannot. Who do you think's worth more, Jay-Z or Ye West, Kanye West? Who's worth more? Well, it's almost a tie, but they're both billionaires. They're both billionaires. Billionaires. Now, so when we talk about crazy as fuck, I think Jay-Z's crazy as fuck too, but when we talk about crazy as fuck, and we're going to be talking on Ye, we'll talk about him. Crazy as fuck. Unhappy as fuck. Suicidal as fuck. Hugging up on Trump. Normally that would destroy a black man's career, hugging up on Trump. But when you get to a certain level, I mean, you get to a certain level. See, we can't fathom that level they're in. 99.9 of us right now will never be a billionaire. So you cannot fathom that level, that energy that they have, that stress that they have, that drive, that whatever it is, we can, and that accolade that they have, or just going out and doing regular stuff that the drama can ensue, and things, pitfalls that they have to watch for. We cannot fathom that. So before you call Kanye West crazy as fuck, well, he is crazy as fuck, but maybe crazy as fuck is not a bad thing. Maybe we should get a t-shirt, crazy as fuck. Yeah. Maybe it's not a bad thing, because you cannot fathom that much money or that much power. The human being, the average human being, brain will explode. You cannot fathom that. Sometimes y'all get a raise, we're like, oh my God, I got a $200 raise, and you go crazy. Can you imagine being at that level that very few get to? Very few get to that air, that billion-dollar air. You know, it smells different because your head and shoulders above the rest, and you're above that, and you're smelling that rich air. Oh, what's that smell? That's riches. That's rich air. That's above the pollution. But you got to be so careful because it's like Colorado. That air is very thin up there. It's very thin, very lonely. Very thin and very lonely. Because there's hardly anybody up there. It's like moving into the neighborhood going, we finally made it. Well, where everybody else at? There's nobody else. What are you saying? Because you made it to the top, man. And the average human beings will, the average human being, let's put this in perspective. Yeah, let's do that. And also perspective. That's rich people talk. Let's put it in perspective. The average human being will never see $1 million in their lifetime. They'll never see $1 million in their lifetime. Never. I mean, you can lease your car and you can write like you're rich and you can get a nice house and you could be pay your mortgage and you could, what do you do with this? And then you can do a double mortgage and whatever. Then you lose your house, and next thing you know, you're in a Walmart box in the corner. I don't care where you are, if you're a middle class in your middle class neighborhood, you know you're one step away from, hey, I'm sorry, we lost your job. Hey, I'm sorry, the pandemic hit us. Hey, I'm sorry, we not get enough customers. Hey, I'm sorry, we're not making money. Hey, I'm sorry, I'm losing so much money, so I gotta let your ass go. You can't let me go. I'm the CEO. Yeah, well, now you're schizoid, and you're talking to yourself, and you just fired yourself. I don't know how we got there. How did we get there? It happens. And now you're living in a box. We are one. It used to be the old days where you're one step away from being, we're one paycheck away from being homeless. Remember that? Where I live, I'm going to put things in perspective. Where I live, me. I was watching one of these shows. It's a new show, and they're talking about rents and everything. And I was surprised because the town where I live in Los Angeles, it's kind of a hidden town, and most people don't talk about it. So I was surprised when they made the announcement that the town that I live in is one of the nation's top four of the nation's highest renters in the nation, in the whole fucking nation. I'm going, what? Effective, an average one-bedroom where I live in my town, one bedroom is over $4,500 a month. One bedroom. That's how much people are paying. What? True. True. So to put everything in perspective, you're never going to make $1 million. We're talking people who are making $500 million. We're talking people who are making $1 billion. We're talking the 1%. And Beyonce is not even part of the 1%. I don't know. Would she be? No, she'll probably be part of the 5%. I don't know where the 1% start. I think the 1% start now with the billionaires because there's a lot more billionaires than there used to be. So maybe I'm thinking the 1.5 or the billionaires now. 111 is in the room. Let me see who that 111 is. Good morning, 111. You're live on the air with Brian and Hammer Jackson. There you go. 111. You're live on the air. And if it's you, Mr. Solution, speak up. I'm going to keep your mic. I'm going to keep your mic open just in case you want to talk. 111. So I'm saying that when you get this 1%ers and you look at them in our regular eyes and our just our logic, because we cannot conceive about having $1 billion with a B. So before you judge these people and before you want to wish for their demise, you got to understand we will never, the average American will never in their lifetime see $1 million. Never see it. You'll never have a bank, you'll never have to go to your bank and there's $1 million. It'll never be in one place. I'll just take that out. You'll never do it. So let's withhold our judgment about U.S. And we're going to talk about the Honorable Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. And I did say honorable. You know Mr. Weinstein, the great director, the good-looking guy, the man who should be on the Sexiest Man of the Year magazine, People's Choice. Mr. Weinstein. What did he really? Hello? Did somebody say something? Come on, 111. You're in the studio with me. Don't be shy. Okay. What did Harvey really do? What did he really do that was so bad? He's on trial right now in Los Angeles for some trumped up sex charges. And we're going to go into that too. And then we're also going to go into, you know, we have people who are in our audience and who listen to this show. They believe in a spiritual world. In fact, one of my best people who was here yesterday, Miss Pat Oberlin, the amazing psychic, was here. And Pat does other stuff part-time on her gig. She does her hustle. Haunted houses, she goes in and she cleans them out and shit like that. Pat's a very talented woman. Hangs around with witches and parties all day and parties all night. That's it. Parties all night. My girl likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. That's Pat. That's Pat. My girl likes to party all the time, party all the time. She parties all the time. That's Pat. She's a great psychic. She's a great psychic. So, 7 reasons why you see ghosts. There are some people in this world, they see ghosts. Other people don't see the ghosts. Why? Why are certain people seeing ghosts and other people not seeing ghosts? Well, I'm going to give you the 7 reasons why you see ghosts. I'm going to give you the reason. I'm going to give you the reason why you see ghosts and other people don't. So stick with us. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson. This is where I go get the coffee. And sometimes when we break our music. We have a music break while I drink coffee and make coffee, play a little bit of music because people love the music. Love the music. But this all this music theme that I played, I picked for Harvey Weinstein. Each music that I do in the music break is dedicated to the Honorable Harvey Weinstein. So any music that so now on, and when we go for breaking for music and you hear music, it's for Harvey Weinstein. It's a tribute to Weinstein and his beautiful work that he has done. So first up, dedicated to Harvey Weinstein, one of the songs. All right, we'll be right back. I'm Brian the Hammer Jackson. If you'd like to come in the studio like 111 did, it's 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That'll get you in the studio. That'll get you time to say hello to me. That's right, to me. You should say hello to me. Hello, 111. See, here how it works. Hello, 111.
Hello, Brian. How are you doing?
You see? No, that was actually me. 111's not talking. But I'm leaving 111 mics up open. Sometimes I say funny shit, and maybe they forget. They start laughing, and we catch them. Or they could be at work. But if you'd like to come in the studio, that's the number. 319-527-6099. And we'll be right back with our top story, Kanye West. What the fuck? And the first song, tribute to Harvey Weinstein, I'm going to make coffee. Trial today in Los Angeles over some, let's call it sexual misunderstanding. Can we put a category of sexual misunderstanding? Sexual understanding? I mean, that's some. That's like a song that Marvin Gaye will come up with sexual misunderstanding. Sexual misunderstanding. Yeah! Somebody ought to write a song called sexual... Are you listening to me, King? Rap me a song of sexual misunderstanding. Maybe that would work. I'd buy it. Let's get to it. Here's the title, Kanye West. What the fuck? And the Honorable Harvey Weinstein. Say what? That's the title. What the hell is going on with Ye? I mean, he makes mental illness look good. He does. Get the T-shirt. Crazy as fuck, or call me crazy, and I will call you lazy. I will call you later. T-shirt, crazy as fuck. Or the other T-shirt, call me crazy, and I will call you later. And we're going to talk about Harvey Weinstein and his trial. It starts in Los Angeles today. Free Harvey. Today's a special day. Do you believe in ghosts? These are the 7 reasons you see ghosts. Let's hammer it out. If you'd like to be on the Brian the Hammer Jackson show, here it is. You can be interviewed. I have to send you the form. If you're looking at the marquee, you'll see the booking form here. Just fill it out, and I will interview you on the show. It's a call-in show. Monday through Friday. Normally, we're at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Somebody woke up. Allegations that it's me. 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. That's it. Let's get right down to it. Normally, I talk about other stuff, or normally we'll go to the news, but I think we'll go today. We're gonna get into it. Let's talk about Kyle. Here's Tucker Carlson. You know Tucker Carlson on Fox News. You know, when you say Fox News, do you guys ever think about, remember the fur? You call it Fox fur? F-A-U, is it F-A-U-X? Now, F-A-U-X, Fox fur, you know it's fake fur. So it's almost like I want to call it Fox News. So here's Fucker Carlson, otherwise known as Tucker Carlson, talking to Ye West on Fox News. Who's going to listen? Maybe we'll get an insight of why Ye is going nuts here. Here we go. Let's find this out.
Is one of the best-selling...
Oh, it's Ye. I thought it was Ye. Okay.
He's celebrated and very highly paid fashion designer. And, of course, for a decade, he was well-known to TV audiences as an in-law of the Kardashian family. But it's West's latest incarnation as a kind of Christian evangelist that brought us to his office in Los Angeles today for the interview you're about to see. Days ago, during Fashion Week in Paris, West, accompanied by his friend Candace Owens, unveiled a T-shirt that read simply, White Lives Matter. The response from the fashion industry and international media was instantaneous and uniform. Shock, horror, rage. There is no excuse for this, thundered the New York Times. West is legitimizing extremism, shrieked Rolling Stone, etc., etc. What was strikingly missing from the coverage, however, was any explanation for why West did this. What was the T-shirt about? No one seemed to think to ask him, much less to listen to what he had to say. Instead, the enemies of his ideas dismissed West, as they have for years, as mentally ill. Too crazy to take seriously. Look away. Ignore him. He's a mental patient. There's nothing to see here. But is West crazy? You can judge for yourself as you watch what we're about to show you. He has his own ideas. We can say that. Creative people tend to. That's why they're artists, not actuaries. His freeform social media posts give the impression of a man channeling his rawest emotions right onto Instagram. The effect can be jarring and is often used as ammunition against him in the battle for influence over the minds of America's young people, and that battle is intense. But crazy? That was not our conclusion. In fact, we've rarely heard a man speak so honestly and so movingly about what he believes. But again, you can judge for yourself. Here it is. So you just came from Paris Fashion Week. You just landed, and yeah. The lanyard's still on from it, and there's a photograph on it. What is that?
It's a photograph of a baby's ultrasound.
Why is that? And then you designed that?
Yes.
Why? What does that mean?
It just represents life. I'm pro-life.
Boy, so you wear it on a badge. What kind of response do you get? And good, amen. I agree.
I don't care about people's responses. I care about the fact that there's more black babies being aborted than born in New York City at this point.
Remember when we talked about, is he crazy? Okay. I don't know what your definition is. Well, crazy. Maybe you just, your definition of crazy is that he doesn't agree with your views and that you think his views is outlandish or whatever, so therefore you can't comprehend what the man is saying, so therefore you label him as crazy. But he just says something very interesting. Isn't it true that more black women abort their babies than white women? Are we going to have that fight? Are we going to have that argument? Are we going to say that, and just because I'll use the word black and I'll use the word white, now the R word will come into play here, which is I'm right. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess it's racist. And it's all about economics. Think about it. White people have a better chance of getting care, understanding, knowledge, counseling, than somebody in economic downfall. True. Bottom line, true. Bottom line, true. What he said was true. So far, no crazy here.
It's a photograph of a baby's ultrasound. Why is that, and that you designed that?
Yes.
Why? What does that mean?
It just represents life. I'm pro-life.
Boy, so you wear it on a badge. What kind of response do you get? And good, amen. I agree.
I don't care about people's responses. I care about the fact that there's more black babies being aborted than born in New York City at this point. That 50% of black deaths in America is abortion. So I really don't care about people's responses. I perform for an audience of one, and that's God.
I'm starting to see why they want to make you be quiet. When did you start to feel this way? When did you start to realize this?
I really felt like, I think I started to really feel this need to express myself on another level when Trump was running for office and I liked him.
Yes.
And every single person in Hollywood, from my ex-wife to my mother-in-law to my manager at that time to, you know, my so-called friends slash handlers around me told me, like, if I said that I liked Trump, that my career would be over, that my life would be over. They said stuff like people get killed for wearing a hat like that. They threatened my life. They put my life. They basically said that I would be killed for wearing the hat. I had someone call me last night and said anybody wearing a White Lives Matter shirt is going to be greenlit, and that means that they're going to beat them up if they wear it. And I'm like, you know, okay, green light me then. You know, God builds warriors in a different way. I don't know if it's because of me being born in Atlanta and growing up on the south side of Chicago that, you know, he made me for such a time like this. It's like with David. You know, he tended to the sheep, but while he was out there, he had to fight all kinds of animals. So when it was time for Goliath to come, he thought because he was a sheep herder that he didn't have the skill set to take down Goliath. And the thing that I have is the position, I have my heart, but the number one thing is we have God on our side. And for the people, even if you don't believe in God, God believes in you.
So you made reference to the White Lives Matter t-shirt, mm-hmm. which you brought out at Paris Fashion Week.
Yeah.
Why did you do that, and what did it mean?
You know, I do certain things from a feeling. I just channel the energy. It just feels right. It's using a gut instinct, a connection with God, and just brilliance. You know, like as if you ask, like, Tonya Harding how she did the triple flip or the triple spin,
yeah.
She was in so much practice that when it was time for her to skate in a competitive format, it just happened. Like, it happened outside of practice. It happened in the real format. And that's what's happening is God is, like, preparing us for the real battles. And we are in a battle with the media. Like, the majority of the media has a godless agenda. And the jokes in that work and this whole, like, oh, yeah, he's crazy and all these things, they don't work because the media has, you know, they've also watched travesties happen, just even specifically to me, and just watch it and act like it wasn't happening. And they stay quiet about it.
What is it?
I want to answer the white.
Yeah.
I feel like someone caught what I was saying, the comparison to Tonya Harding about the White Lives Matter. You know, my dad is an educated ex-Black Panther, and he put a text to me today. He said, "White Lives Matter, ha, 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 ha." And I said, I thought the shirt was a funny shirt. I thought the idea of me wearing it was funny. And I said, "Dad, what do you think it was funny?" He said, just a Black man stating the obvious. Yeah. And, you know, my dad doesn't listen to rap music, and he's, like, super educated. We opened up a water distribution center in the Dominican Republic together. He's like the original Steve Jobs, but he was getting blocked every which way with all of his ideas, and he didn't have an endless bank account, and he didn't have Instagram. So all these ideas, he had to, like, take them back and compress them. Like, my dad is the most brilliant person that I know, and we actually have a strained relationship because I was taken from him, because my mom was an actress, so she was a liberal. And my dad would see certain things and say, you know, we should do it this way, we should do it that way. And the people got around my mom and pulled her away, much like, you know, Kim is a Christian, but she has people who want her to go to Interview Magazine and put her ass out while she's a 40-something-year-old multi-billionaire with four Black children. And this is what, how fashion wants to, how they want to present her. So I know you give these questions, and I give you, like, these three-part answers. Is this a cool format for you?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, cool.
And I am following it.
All right.
So you said that your father said when he saw the shirt, "White Lives Matter," it's great to see a Black man stating the obvious. So by which I think you meant that's obviously true.
Yeah, that my favorite response, because I kept on thinking, like, you know, people, they're looking for an explanation, and people say, well, as an artist, you don't have to give an explanation, but as a leader, you do.
Yes, I think that's right.
So the answer to why I wrote "White Lives Matter" on a shirt is because they do. It's the obvious thing.
Yeah. Why do you think that's so, and I assume the implication is, of course, all lives matter because they're lives, because God created them.
Yeah.
Why do you think that that would be considered controversial?
Because the same people that have stripped us of our identity and labeled us as a color have told us what it means to be Black and the vernacular that we're supposed to have. My dad grew up as a military brat, and his family moved around, but they were based mostly in Delaware. And at the time, if they weren't the only Black family, they were one of the few. And he would be discriminated against because he was Black. So by the time he got into college, he would be discriminated against. He went to a Black college. He would be discriminated against because they said he talked too white.
Yes.
And then he played the kick drum in the band. So when he would go to the club and the music was playing, where would he clap his hands? Where the kick drum is.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of where everyone else,
right, exactly,
was clapping their hands. And this is the most elegant and tasteful person that I know. And when my mom, when the school suggested, like, the herding systems, because what they do is take the Black community and they separate us. And they separate the families. And the educated, they push this, you know, need for higher education. And us as Blacks, we discriminate against each other and say, well, I got my PhD and you don't have your PhD, so I'm better than you. And so my mom, she had a PhD, and she was influenced to move to the south side of Chicago and take this job at Chicago State University. And she told my dad, if you come for us, you know, you'll never see him again. Because, you know, the media ridiculed me for getting the house next door to Kim to see my children. And they even said that I was stalking her and her new boyfriend because I bought the house next door to see my children. And that's how I knew that my mom had said that to him. I said, Dad, you know, they moved us to one of the most agreed upon to be one of the most dangerous places in the world. It's almost like they tried to kill me or something. I said, Dad, why'd you never come to get us? And that's when he told me that she was told that. You know, there's so many things that are put in Kim's head. You know, they bring influencers. Like, no one ever knows where Corey Gamble came from. No one in the fashion world knows where Gabby came from. These people were practically made in a laboratory, in my opinion. And one of the things that they're really good at doing is being nice and being likable. And what they do is, for people that have some form of influence, whether it's an educated black woman like my mother that became the head of the English department at Chicago State University, or whether it's the most influential white woman on the planet, being my ex-wife, they have people that are around them at all times telling them what to be afraid of. It's like not what to do or say specifically, it's what to be afraid of. And if you have a person that isn't afraid of them, you know, like a Russell Brand or Candace Owens, it's not that we have to agree with this, but
they're not afraid.
They're not afraid to state what their opinion is.
Yes.
No one is God, and everyone has an opinion.
So a conversation like this is a window into a world that you don't see. So if you're familiar with West from the media, you think of him as an individual man. What you don't think about is that he is at the center of a battle, and people like him are at the center of a battle to get a message out. Mouthed by the lips of influencers like him and so many others, that extend half of, well, in this case, the status quo. So they're...
shut up, fucker talk. You ever hear people, fucker talk, Carlson is one of those people. There are some people on this show, you'll hear too. Do you ever hear people who just say shit because they like to hear their own voice? Fucker Carlson is one of those people. Like, he's even in his voice, it sounds like he's an elitist and talks down to you. Is it just me? I don't know. But we're going to get back to more with Kanye West, or Ye. We're going to get back with Ye, another story. We're going to be moving along. And, again, we had, like, five people in the studios, and all of them have one-on-ones. So we're going to, time to time, we're going to go up to them and see if they want to talk. All right. Okay, hold on. So I'm gonna mute you. I'm gonna mute you 111. Then I'm gonna unmute you, so you know I'm talking to you. So I mute 111. There you go. There you go. Now I'm gonna unmute you 111, so you know you're the 111 I'm talking to. What's up, 111? Are you ready to say anything? Time to time, we'll go back to.
Stop harassing me, Brian.
I knew it was you, fool.
I'm
you
busy.
Fool. All right, he's busy. That's Business Solution. I knew it was him.
Well,
I'll go on
last
with the show.
Time you had you got your panties in a bunch. So since I had
I
something
didn't get
else
my panties
to do,
in,
I said
I didn't get my. Listen to me. I didn't get my panties.
Listen,
in a bunch.
Listen.
You
listen.
Went off. You went off. And you did.
Listen.
You were in your disrespectful self.
Listen. That's the
see,
problem.
You're doing it again. You're doing
no,
it again.
No, I'm asking you to
yes,
stop
you
so I can speak.
Go ahead.
I've listened to you ad friggin' infinitum. I said if I were within arm lengths of you, you would definitely be in the corner. Not conscious, but in the corner. Now, my point is, I said, well, you brought up some good topics, and that's fine. Kanye, I think he's expressing clarity, lucidity, perspicuity, if you please. And he's making some good points. He's delivering some good points. Then again, he did say his mother was head of the English department, I believe, correct?
He was all over the place. I guess she was educator, then she turned actress, and he kind of, it sounds to me, I don't know how old he is, but you ever go out with people or you hang around people, it doesn't matter how old they are. They could be 55 years old, and they still blame daddy and mommy what happened to them. This guy, oh, I mean, as he's talking, it sounds to me that, well, mama took me away from daddy. It seems like, you know, mm-hmm. he was always estranged from his father. But I guess the connect, since his mother died, you know, he went, you know, off the deep end. He was very close to his mom. I understand that. I'm not mad at him about that. But I guess you could tell the way he's talking that maybe he's reconciling with his father. And his father probably told him some of this stuff, like, son, I was going to be with you, but your mom took you away from me. And then he gets me lost. There's a part where he's talking and I'm lost, where he says that he's in a bad neighborhood and are you trying to kill me? But then he goes to Kim, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, did your mom take you, you know, from your father and she moved to the bad neighborhood and that? And how did you get to Kim right away? And I guess he associated with Kim. I don't know. I'm trying to get through the
Well, what he's saying is, and okay, I agree, he isn't building a super bridge of clarity. But, yeah, that's mm-hmm. basically what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Kim hijacked his kids just like
right.
his mom hijacked him from his
right.
father. And he's,
exactly.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, we can pick up on that. We can fill in the blanks. One's brain should enlightened brain should be able to do that. But he said he bought the house next door so that he could
right.
Be near his kids.
Be with his kids.
Now, that's honorable. Right. He also said that Kim is influenced to show her ass at her advanced age.
Right. That was
and this is a bad
yeah.
thing. So even though he's not nailing everything down, you know, for the storm, he is presenting some lucid points. So, I mean,
okay.
Lighten up, hell.
No, I will not line up because on the other end, see, we see Kaye, whatever.
Yeah,
he had a Twitter breakdown going after John Davison, who is now Kim's boyfriend, as far as threatening him and all this bullshit for a good 2 weeks. Now, when you're threatening
okay.
her new boyfriend and then you buy a house next to them,
all right. No, wait a minute. Define
I could see
what threat did he commit?
Oh my God! I mean, if you go on Twitter, you'll see the thread about him talking about Davison. About I don't know what
okay,
he's there.
Okay, did you say threat or thread?
Thread, like needle and thread. The Twitter thread.
Oh, okay.
The
so
Twitter
he's just
chat.
Speaking. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Because it was in a threatening nature. Now you got to remember.
Well, okay. What did he say that was threatening? Clarify that
is
for
that
me.
He was saying that he doesn't want him around his kids. He's a bad influence around his kids. He wanted to get back with her. Why is he with? I mean, it was just an antagonistic kind of thing. Okay, it was not
okay.
See,
you're waffling now. That
I am not waffling.
I am saying
to you that John Davison went back at him because it was a threat, and he was saying, "Don't threaten me." Blah blah blah. So it was a thing between the both of them. So that was
okay,
very
excuse
uncomfortable.
Excuse me, Brian. Brian, you didn't recite a threat. I didn't hear you say anything
about
a threat.
I'm not going to go verbatim what he said about 3 months ago. I know that
not
there was
verbatim.
A,
I'm just saying
just
he was
take
just
it
expressing
as a riff.
His opinion.
Okay, no,
and, of
just,
course,
well,
he may have disagreed
I know a person
with what
can
was
express
going
their
on.
Pain, like, I'm
going
to blow your goddamn brains out and say, well, you know, a person's angry and expressing his opinion. I'm just saying, Davison got under some threats from some other people in the rap world about Kim and about hurting Ye West. It was very uncomfortable.
Right. Well,
so what I'm saying
I
to you,
I think
you
could, may be – your gun
whatever.
May have –
No, I am being honest. I'm saying to you, if you have West being unhappy that she's with someone and he is just mouthing off, and then he buys a house that's next to you, I could see Kim and Davison looking at that as a threat. I could see them going, what the fuck?
Let me ask
you
something, if I may.
Would you want your ex to do that to you?
I get the gist of what you're saying.
But
is
well,
he saying that the person that Kim is with represents a threat to his children? That's a yes or a no. Excuse me?
Say it one more time.
Is Kanye alleging that the person...
Wait, we got 708. Hold on, hold on. 708, you're live on Brian and Hammer Jackson Show. Me and Mr. Solution. Hello, 708. 708. All right, I'm going to keep your mic open just in case you want to talk. Go ahead, Mr. Solution, as you were saying.
Well, what I was trying to get clear to you, and I think it's a no, is that, okay, Kanye is well, it's a yes. Kanye is alleging that the person that Kim is with is not amenable to his children. He doesn't agree that this is the best person for his children. And I so that's a legitimate concern of a father or of a parent.
Oh, come on. Stop it. Behave yourself. What the hell are you thinking? It's a legitimate concern. You don't buy the next door house. You don't buy the house next door so you can see your kids. First of all, if you're divorced, you went through the court system.
If you can, why not?
No,
I think that could be a good idea. You may not be able to do
it. Are you crazy? Are you – you're telling me that you're going to get divorced from your ex and you're not really at peace with your ex. And so you're worried about this little Twitter war that's happening. You're worried about other people who love your ex-husband that may do harm to your current boyfriend. So you decide to buy the house next door, and you know damn well if you went to divorce, you have custody rights when you see the children, when you don't see the children. So you and your dumbass decide to bypass the court's decision of when you see the children, when you don't see the children, or custody rights. So you, what you try to do is put it in your favor, and you buy it, you buy the fucking house next door to you that now you can see the kids anytime you want to because you happen to live there. It's crazy.
I think that's smart. What about you? Do you do too many things that are smart like that?
No, I don't, because you still have to abide by the court order when – stop it. Now you're trying to troll. I'm just saying I can see
no,
that
I'm
Kim,
not. No. Okay, you need to expand your thought process. That's your problem.
Expand my thought? What do you mean expand my thought? What are
your
you talking
thought?
About?
Your thought process is too narrow. Did the court forbid what he did, yes or no?
I was not in the court to hear the verdict of or whatever.
Right, so you shouldn't make a conclusion unless you know better. I think it's a damn good idea if it doesn't violate the court order.
Well, that when you have custody battles with your kids, Kim got custody of the children. There are rules.
And that may have been a bad thing, by the way. But look, we don't need to rehash that. Move on to some other material. I'm okay with that.
You're losing and you can't stand it. All right, we are going
to never lose, Brian, and certainly I wouldn't lose to you.
You don't. Yes, you are. All right. Like I said, sometimes
remember,
I
can buy the house next door to you.
No, you can't. I would burn that motherfucker
down. Do you live? Oh, you don't live in a house. You live in an apartment, right?
I live in a big apartment. Yes, I do.
All right, I could buy the one next to you.
You can't buy. I wouldn't. You know what? They wouldn't even let you in the neighborhood. The cops.
Okay, there
right
you
away.
Go again. Now you're speaking out of your nethermost. Your nethermost region is speaking now.
Well, you
money doesn't have a color as you, Brian. You're basically a racist, is what you are.
I know it. I know I am.
Yeah,
you know,
you're a bigot and a racist.
Coming out right now. You got me. I'm a racist. I'm coming out.
And
right
a bigot.
Now.
And a bigot.
I draw the line for being a bigot, sir. I'll settle for a racist. Now leave me alone.
Well, if you're at racist, you certainly have passed bigot on the way, sir. Like getting to $100, you have to pass one to get to 100.
I'm going to the next story. We're going to come back to Ye West.
Proceed,
sir. Sometimes I can't cover all the news. Sometimes I can't cover all the news. But you know who can? I like to do this. This is, what is today? Is it Tuesday? Okay, it's Tuesday. Damn. So I'm going to leave it to Stephen Colbert. He's going to cover it for me.
So I like Stephen.
I like Stephen, too.
I thought he gave Lawrence Trump a real whooping. Lawrence Krauss.
Well, you know, where is Stephen?
Lawrence Krauss. He kind of reminds me of you in a kind of twisted fashion. You know, this hyperbolic guy, this very militant guy, who doesn't know the real subject. But go on.
You freak. Here's Stephen Colbert. He could explain the news and get you up to date better than I could for a little break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about Harvey Weinstein, but we'll go back to finish up with Jay at the end. But here we go, Stephen Colbert. You know what? I don't have Stephen.
I had a good weekend. I had a fantastic weekend. It was Evie and my 29th anniversary yesterday. Evie and I made soup. That's it. And by soup, of course, I mean we made soup. Watched a movie. Hey, you know who didn't have a good weekend? Russian president and guy working the telethon who's deathly afraid of phones, Vladimir Putin. Friday was Putin's 70th birthday, and Ukraine gave him a really special gift. They blew up the bridge connecting Russia to Crimea. Boom! Make a wish and blow it out, Vlad. So this is really personal for Putin. He took this very personally because after illegally annexing Crimea in 2014, he personally ordered the construction of the $3.7 billion bridge and opened it himself, dubbing it the Bridge of Dreams, just like that movie. Remember this famous scene?
This place is a community space.
Have coffee.
If you build it, they will
blow it up. This bridge is also... Okay, who is that talking? Who is that?
I've never seen that movie.
Very good thing. This bridge is also an enormous strategic asset because it's the only direct road and rail route from mainland Russia to Crimea, and without it, the Russian military will be severely limited in its ability to bring fuel, equipment, and ammunition to Russian units. Hey, Russian troops, good luck getting your single rusty rifle and a basket of sharpened turnips now. It's especially... I don't even know. It's especially embarrassing because the Kremlin has long bragged about the bridge's invincibility because it was guarded by fighter jets, divers, and this is true, fighting dolphins. Or as Russia calls them, the Marine Corps. You know their slogan, the few, the proud, the Unfortunately, thank you very much. That's my... Unfortunately for Russia, the bridge was taken down by a truck bomb, which somehow evaded Russia's crack squad of dolphin truckers. Now, in response, Putin launched a series of terrorist missile attacks against Ukrainian civilian targets, but it could have been worse because, and I want everyone to breathe, stay calm while I say this, Putin has nukes. In fact, Thursday night, Biden warned that we presently face the most serious prospect of Armageddon since Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis. That is scary. Joe better get those nuclear codes back from Mar-a-Lago. Too sweet. Is that where they are? It's not reassuring that last week the Department of Health and Human Services spent $290 million on a drug to treat radiation sickness, which they claim is coincidental. Yeah, it sounds so coincidental. It's like saying, yeah, a lot of beefy men in the neighborhood have disappeared with no trace. Anyway, who wants meat pies? I have a suspicious amount. Nuclear war. I know, it's a dark joke. It's a very dark joke. But these are the times we live in. Nuclear war isn't the only thing on Biden's mind. The next day, he went to Maryland to give a speech about the economy. Here's how that went.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America.
I have two words for you. What the I'm not. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform you that, once again, it is time to talk about rapper and also Reynolds rapper, Kanye West. For years, West has been slowly descending into MAGA madness. And this weekend, after years of silence on Twitter, he returned to the app and tweeted death threats at Jewish people in general. Then, mid-tweet, seeming to sense the blowback, tried to rationalize his terrible anti-Semitism by pre-butting, "The funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jew." Ah, yes. The classic excuse of, "I can't be anti-Semitic. Some of my best friends are Jewish, and some of my best friends are me, and me have something interesting ideas about Jew." I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Steve, Kanye's been acting erratically for a while. This vile act of anti-Semitism is something anyone with a brain could see coming, which is why so many on the right chose not to see this coming, including the GOP House Judiciary Committee, which last week, after Ye wore a T-shirt that said White Lives Matter, tweeted, "Kanye, Elon, the former president. What is three people I would trap in a porta potty and roll it downhill?" Wasn't just GOP Congress people who embraced Ye. It was also the leader of the party, Tucker Carlson. Last week, had Ye on for an interview to talk about how it feels to be a persecuted MAGA Republican.
"It drove me crazy to not be able to say that I like Trump. Because think about it, it's me. Imagine me not being able to say what I wanted."
Okay, hold, let me imagine it. I got chills. Everything feels so good. I'm sorry, what'd you say? Nothing? But no one had Ye's back more than the weekend Fox and Friends, who said this after I want to point out, after Kanye had tweeted death threats at all Jewish people.
"Well, there's no question that Kanye or Ye was going to have to be taken down after what happened in the Tucker Carlson interview after wearing that shirt. The target's over him."
Correct.
It's just totally unsurprising. You could see it coming from a mile away. This guy will be the target of big tech because he's too dangerous and too outspoken and too much of a free thinker.
Yes, a free thinker. Only someone completely free of thought would call this a shoe. But later in that very same show, the friendly Fox and Friends finally decided to read about the thing they were complaining about on TV. And let's say, I hope they didn't pull a hammy backpedaling this fast.
Unfortunate. I mean, there's no...
Pretty ugly.
It's ugly. Yeah. And but we talked about it earlier without knowing about these tweets and saying, of course, they're going to put a target after what he said with Tucker. There's going to be a target on him, no doubt.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, I mean, he brought the target.
Kanye is your free thinker. You threw a pity party and invited the guy who always poops in the punch bowl. Now you gotta drink it. L'chaim. There was also a strange story over the weekend featuring Pennsylvania Senate candidate and strip club patron who's clearly forgotten the girls are paid to talk to him, Dr. Oz. Last week at a fundraiser, Oz's campaign had a messaging issue when he delivered a speech in front of Adolf Hitler's car. That is horrible, but it does explain his campaign slogan, Oz for a New Germany. I mean New Jersey. I mean Pennsylvania. Go Eagles, but not the Hitler one. The event... Why would you do that? The event occurred at the home of Hitler's car, the Lion Air Museum in Southern California. Okay, couple of problems. First, Hitler. Second, Air Museum? Cars don't fly. Unless it was the star of the ill-fated children's movie, Nazi Nazi Bang Bang. We got a great show for you tonight. My guests are Colin.
There you go. And that answers the question, why would you want him to buy a house next to you as he threatens your new lover? He did a lot. We're going to go back to Ye. But when you do a lot of threats against the Jews and you consider yourself Jew, and then you buy the it's scary shit. That's like having your ex who tried to kill you. You break up, you change your name, whatever. She gets a hold of you, and she buys a house next to you. And maybe she has a mental disorder that she can't, you know, be around the kids unless they're supervised. And she bypasses that order by buying a house next to you. There should be some... Now you know why it's kind of crazy, and I kind of feel... I don't like Davison for some reason. I don't like his stick. I don't like his stick. I don't like it. I don't know him, so I can't say I don't like him. But I don't like his stick. I don't like his casual, I don't give a fuck kind of thing, and just... beach bum kind of comedy. I don't like it. All right, so when we come back, we're going to touch a little bit on Harvey Weinstein. Then we're going to go back to Ye. And I said, like I said, before we go for a break, I'm going to play a song that is targeted to the great and honorable Weinstein. How did we get here? And don't forget the 7 reasons why people see ghosts and other people don't see them. If you'd like to come in the studio, just like 8 other people that are in the studio now, the number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. This is a free forum that people are talking. You hear them talking right now. They're talking so loud I can't even get a word into it. Mr. Solution is here, and 708, who's from Chicago, is not talking at all. They just want to listen to a guy babble, I guess. I guess that's what they want to listen to. All right. So we're going to take another little music break for 2 minutes. I'll be right back. But again, this music is towards, it's a tribute to Harvey. So I'm sending this out for Harvey. He's having Harvey Weinstein, the honorable director, Harvey Weinstein. And I'm sending these songs out. It reminds me of him. I think he's just so misunderstood. I really do. I really do. Here we go. And we'll be right back. See, I can see Harvey Weinstein doing this. I can see Harvey Weinstein singing this. I can see Harvey Weinstein talking to some actresses just like this. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Hammer 96.7. Come on. There you go. You can get it, Harvey. Nothing wrong with that. I'll be right back in 2 minutes. He's a very sexy man. He should be the sexiest man in the world. He's got a picture of Harvey Weinstein. Look at that man. That is hunk of meat. Hunk of man meat. And I'll be right back.
Don't you just know exactly?
actually himself, Harvey Weinstein. Sexiest man alive, right back in the day. Oh yeah, famous guy. All you have to do, don't touch me, baby. You know, let me tell you something. When we choose a profession.
Hey, Brian, okay, I have a quick point when you say so, you tyrant.
Go ahead, Mr. Solution.
Look here, I don't think, and you can put this up for a vote, you tended to disagree with me, but I think on this issue, as with many issues, you're dead wrong. That is a brilliant strategic move of a loving father, and I'm going to presume that Kanye is a loving father. Most, if it doesn't violate the court order, and that's not to say all court orders make sense anyway, but if it's not in violation of the court order, that is an absolute friggin' brilliant move, because one of the things is transportation, especially of minor children, and if he's next door, which most kids can go next door, they can provide their own transportation, i.e. their little legs. I think that's an absolutely brilliant move. And I don't think anyone with their brain completely inside their cranium would disagree with that. Why don't you put that up for a vote, if you have the courage to, and just hear what other people have to say about it. I think that is an absolute friggin' brilliant move to buy the house next door to where your children live in order to see them more.
All right, you're right. I will put it up for a vote. And since I'm the
yes,
only one talking,
yes.
Okay, all of us who disagree with Mr. Solution say yes. Yes. All right, I put it up for a vote.
Well, not
right
disagreeing
there.
With me. Oh,
hey,
there you go. Okay, you are a comedian at
Dan,
heart. You're a funny man, Brian.
You
even when it's
vote,
not called for.
I took it for a vote. The vote stands. They think you're crazy. I'm sorry, I did the democracy kind of thing, the democratic way. We voted, and we voted, you're wrong. That's it.
Oh. Brian, if
oh,
I didn't
I'm
know
sorry,
you,
not
I would think
the election, the
I would
voting,
think something was afoot. Brian, let me ask you this.
Oh,
I would hate to see you get taken down, but how can you play all
ass.
Those people's material
something
without saying fair use or something along those lines?
How
I mean,
dare you?
Yeah,
what's going on there?
Because
you
played Tucker
Carlson. You brought up a good point. You brought up a good point. I'm going to talk serious with you. Normally, I think that's a brilliant move. I do agree. I do agree with you. It's a brilliant move, okay? But here's the problem. See, we're talking as sane people, you know what I mean? We're talking people who are fluid and who are sane. And Kanye West, his behavior is so off the spectrum, and I think he is on the spectrum, to tell you the truth, that his behavior is so unpredictable, and that he does come out, he does go into rages, and he does threaten people, that you can, and that's what Kim even tried to do this during the beginning of the divorce. He says, I'd like to keep this civil between us, but Kanye just went on Twitter and as a rant. This guy is so out of control that it can harm the children, and it can scare people. And now,
Brian, let me ask you a question.
You're talking about a regular guy. I agree with you.
Is there any one of us who, at a certain time, could not be considered as having done the same thing or worse?
What do you mean? As far as what goes? As far as trying to get close to our exes, and then if we have children
no,
or something?
No, as far as people labeling our behavior, you said crazy.
As erotic.
Have you not done many crazy things in your life? Has Kim Kardashian not done
radio
many crazy things in her life? I mean,
it's
more of a slur than it is anything else. I mean, I think at one point he was under stress. And when one is under stress, you know, they can do things that are odd, out of the box, as it were. But did he do anything patently illegal? Did he do it? Was he arrested? Was he cited?
I
mean,
you know, I haven't heard that he got arrested. I think like Trump, he had people around him that kind of contained him, keep him out of trouble. I said in the beginning of the show, Mr. Solution, I want you to ponder this because I think you could ponder this. See, we can, there's not going to be, 99.9% of us will never see $1 million. We cannot comprehend what it is to be a billionaire, let alone a millionaire. The air.
Okay, you can speak for yourself, right? That's who you're speaking for, yourself?
I'm speaking for you.
Oh, you're stupid. See, that's the thing. Stop speaking out of your nethermost region. Stop that.
Okay. What I'm saying,
and Brian, if you'd get up off your lazy ass and work intelligently, you could see $1 million.
What?
I mean, you really can. I think you have enough life left. You can
what?
See it. You just have to put in.
For
you
what?
Just have to put in you said $1 million. I don't think you understand a lot of what you say. Connect your brain.
I do, Mr. Solution.
A million dollars is not that much.
I understand more than you know. Quit being an elitist fuck. Quit. There's people out
stop being a low-class fuck.
You're being an elitist fuck. There's a saying that $1 million is not that much. There are people who are
it's
working
so freaking
hard.
It's not that much. I said it again. I'll say it again.
No.
It's not that much.
No, stop it.
Now.
There's people busting their asses for $70,000 a year, $100,000 a year.
Okay. They have to put the right things in place. And I would say to you, if you work a minimum of 60 hours, I would recommend 70 to 80 hours. Get out of debt. You can do it.
You know what? Why don't you just be my slave and I'll let you work 24 hours and I'll beat you and give you some soup when your day off.
Okay. Why are you poo-pooing? See, that's the reason that you can't climb to the level that you're speaking of. I'm giving you the solution and you're poo-pooing it.
People to work 80 hours? Really?
You damn right. If you're healthy, I'm not saying it's easy. I don't want success to be easy because
illegal.
It diminishes
Stop
the
it.
Success that people have worked for. But if you get out there and do it, and you only have to do it 3 to 5 years.
I'm not saying it's easy. It's just, listen, son, you're going to work 80 hours. You're going to work 80 hours a week. And I'm not going to say we're not doing it because it's easy. We're going to do it because it's hard, like Kennedy says. So go forth, young man. And never see your family, never have a break, never have a day off, never enjoy life. You just work your ass
off. You can't
off.
Sit. You look, just, no one can sit back and bitch and complain about something they haven't done. I've worked 60 to 80 hours a week, so I know what that's like. It's not easy. I'm going to tell you right. It's not easy, just like fasting. I fast 15 to 18 hours a day. That's not easy. But I do it.
You should get a
because
burger.
There's a goal in mind.
You're
sitting here. I mean, I'm surprised at you. You're losing. A lot of people could be millionaires. All they
losing.
Have to do is reduce their consumption, work harder, work smarter.
There are homeless people who have done that. They went on the Mr. Solution diet. They have reduced their consumption. In fact, they haven't eaten in about 2 weeks. It's not easy, but they're doing it.
Okay, but do they have a plan?
Yeah, their plan is starvation.
if you stop your joking
people.
Until you got to the top, the jokes would improve.
You know what? You cracked me up, Mr. Solution. You cracked me the fuck
up. Well, let me say, literally, you do the same thing, and I laugh from a higher perch than you.
Oh, I see. Oh, higher perch. Okay. All right.
Well, is there anything wrong with that? I work for it, goddammit.
All I'm saying is you can't come out and say $1 million is not that much. Stop it.
It's not. I said it again. And I'll say it again. It's not that much. It is much. It's much, but it's not that much. A lot of people have wasted nearly a million dollars
in their lifetime.
Hey, you didn't hear what I said. Listen more than you you have two ears, one mouth.
I heard what you said. You're saying the same thing, that it's not that much.
People, a lot of people have wasted the better part of $1 million. I said wasted.
All right. I'm saying, I hear what you're saying, and you're giving me a headache. I hear what you're saying. I'm saying a lot of people will not even see a $500,000 a year. They won't ever see it.
Well, it's based on a lot of their unproductive and non-smart activity.
Oh, that's not true.
I mean, look at
that's
you.
Not,
with your, with your drug, with
a
your past drug use, you admitted that you had wasted a small fortune.
Accountants, policemen, civil workers, government workers, stop it. And they're good.
I estimate that you have blown at least $250,000. Am I lying?
Excuse me. You get your nose out of my blowings. blowing is private.
There you go. $250,000 has gone up your nose.
Stop it. You get out of my business, sir. You gossip columnist.
Oh, you told me, so I'm just regurgitating what you told me. But Brian, look, you're the bearer of bad news. You're telling people what they can't do, and people's power is much greater than you've anticipated. Even your power is much greater than you anticipate. But your ego gets in your damn way. That's your problem. So don't tell people they can't be millionaires. They can be millionaires. They just have to do millionaire stuff.
The lotto. That's why they gamble. They're chasing that
dream. Well, see, there you go again, talking out of your nethermost region.
Hey, that's the way you understand it. I have to bend over and talk
that
out of my
That is not the way. I understand that's the way you understand it. That is not the way to wealth, playing the lottery. Now, do I play the lottery a little bit? Yes, I do. A very little bit. I do.
Yeah.
I don't have to lie. I don't have to lie to you like you. And remember what Martin Luther King said. I haven't heard you speak on those L.A. leaders that were caught doing stuff that you do, being racist and bigots. But remember what Martin Luther King said, and it'll keep you out of trouble. People don't repeat it or not.
Well, it is L.A. news. It is, you know, I don't say that.
Hold on. It's the content of one's character and not the color of their skin. See, if those people hadn't been focused on skin color, she wouldn't have been talking about taking a three-year-old out for a beatdown. I mean, come on. that was over the top. She wanted to take a three-year-old out.
Because they have no idea what you're talking about. So I have to give them
context. Oh, yes, they do.
No, okay. Then explain what you're talking about, because people in Maine and people in Virginia have no idea what you're talking about. So
okay, explain it. It's fine. Go ahead and explain it.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You do it.
Well, I just said it was some LA city leaders, and you can read about it. It's all over the news.
Is that so easy?
LA city leaders were caught in a room speaking very negative of other people, of various groups of people. It wasn't done in an academic or an intelligent way.
Right.
They were just being guttural, and they were denigrating other people completely uncalled for. And they were even talking about beating up on the people that they were denigrating, beating their small children. And so it was just crazy. And someone left a recording device that caught them in the act. And thus played it on Reddit or some social media site. And it's been picked up by all the different broadcast systems. But they were caught red-handed. Now they're retiring from city council and their various positions. So I think it's...
you've got the worst story. If I was your kid and you're saying, tell me a story, Graham. Tell me a story, Daddy. I was just... ban you from the room. You tell the worst stories.
Well, I'm just telling what happened. L.A. city leaders were caught making racist statements. I mean, what did I leave out, Brian? I didn't make a joke in mid-statement.
You say leaders. What leaders? I mean, leaders are mayors, senators, governors. I mean, what are you talking about?
Well, it was the L.A. City Council, L.A. leaders.
You didn't
they
say
can
the
read
City
the
Council. You just said leaders.
Yeah. Look, political leaders, city leaders.
All right. Let me finish this story because I'm going to get to
you're
the other story.
You're not leaders?
I'm going to get to the story, but, you know, did you hear the story about, and I'm really surprised, is it Kelsey? I'll do that later. She's leaving the Democratic Party because she's tired of the whining and the bitching. That's a very good story I want to get to, and there's a surprise story that I didn't plan on getting to you. Here's that story that he's talking about, and it is true. It's the city council. They had a meeting, and what's really surprising is that the person who was starting doing the racial slurs, they were Hispanic.
But Brian, before
why.
You go on, hey, I wouldn't have been surprised if you weren't sitting in on that. That's right down your alley. Go ahead. That's what I thought of when I thought of them. I said, oh, damn, Brian was probably in that room. But anyway, go ahead.
All right. So what? Here's the article. Los Angeles City Council, racist leaked audio fallout prompts resignation of second official. Here's what happened. They were caught on a hot mic. Somebody left the recorder, like Mr. Solution said, and they caught the city council president. Her name is Ms. Martinez, Nuri Martinez, and they caught her on the mic. This is a city council meeting in Los Angeles. And what she said was... according to the Los Angeles Times, her and her other labor president, Ron Herrera, both of them Hispanic, they offered their resignation Monday night after what happened. They basically got mad at here it goes. Martinez offering a second apology for the remarks with a disparaging city councilman, Mike Bonin. Now, Mike Bonin is on the city council, too. And apparently Ms. Martinez was pissed off that Mike Bonin went to a Black Lives Matter party, or a protest, I'm sorry, Black Lives Matter protest. So she started riffing about how disgraceful it was that he would go there. Now, this guy, Bonin, is a white guy. He happened to adopt a black kid. So Ms. Martinez, who is a president, was really upset that him and his son attended a Black Lives Matter protest. And she just started to go off, saying that he's handling his young black son and that his son was acting up, that they should have took his son out and beat him up and disciplined him, and said he acted like a monkey. So she was saying these kind of things. And it was caught on the mic. The calls for her accountability are loud, clear, and deserved. I recognize that the community and our affiliates deserve an apology, and I am sorry this has been the case, Jerez said in a statement on Sunday evening. I at first faced my family and granddaughters personally and apologized to them for my failure to stand up to racist and anti-black remarks in an immediate moment. I failed them in a moment. And that's him begging for forgiveness. Shut up, bitch. And then he says, now I apologize to Mike Bonin. Mike Bonin is the white guy who adopted the black son who's part of the city council.
Is it Bonin or Bonin?
Bonin, B-O-N-I-N, Bonin.
Yeah, you said Bonin.
I'm sorry. So they apologized to him. And they're sending my deep apologies. I'm trying to get to what they said. I mean, they're going through this and this.
Well, Brian, you've covered the gist of it, but she even said this was done a year ago, by the way. This conversation was held
a year ago.
I'm just adding a little detail. I'm not reading from an article like you, but Ms. Molina also said that the three-year-old kid who was riding in some parade on a float, that the kid almost tipped the float over. Now, can you imagine?
Yes.
Come on. What kind of float would be tipped over by a three-year-old? Come on.
I know. They're just going out.
And this is the three-year-old that she wanted to beat down. She didn't just say the kids should be beaten down. She wanted to take part in the beatdown of a three-year-old. Go ahead.
Right. That's your city council for what? So they both resigned.
Well, it's not my city council.
Both resigned from the city council. But, you know, here's a story that I did not plan on reading. But you know what? I feel the same way. You know, I'm a Democrat. And I'm ashamed the way the Democrats have been acting. I'm ashamed of the whining, the backstabbing. I'm also ashamed that they're putting too much emphasis on attacking that motherfucker, Donald Trump. Donald Trump,
that's just
true,
too.
It makes them look weak and afraid of a monster. I get it. Americans love a good story that there has to be a devil and there has to be a good guy and a bad guy. I understand. I get it. But the way
but
that
Brian, it wasn't Trump. It was Trump's supporters that she was attacked.
Exactly. And I don't know how many times you can go after this guy. I mean, enough is enough. Arrest him. If you can't arrest him, leave him the fuck alone. It's just all the fucking time, man. And it's nothing but whining. They're just whining and this. And it's just ridiculous. So Tulsi Gabbard, you may know her and you may not know the name. She was, I think it was, was it 2020 that she was going up for being a president of the United States? It was 2020. But the Democrats have shunned her because she had more of a conservative views. So they have shunned her away from the party. Well, today she announces that she's leaving the Democratic Party. She's denouncing it as an elitist cabal. That's how she said it. That's how she's leaving. She's leaving it because she's calling it an elitist cabal. Now, that's pretty strong words. And then she says this, and I'm going to have to agree with her. She says, Tulsi Gabbard argues that Democrats have given into cowardly wokeness and anti-white racism. As much as I disagree, I can't disagree with that. They have. If everything is racist. If you don't agree with them, you're racist. If you're white, you're racist. This wokeness. You know what I'm trying to say? I have to agree with her.
Hey, Brian, and one of the problems when political leaders like that stand up and bash, not the candidate, but the candidate supporters, they're also bashing their constituents. They're bashing, like, for example, when Hillary Clinton, what did she call Trump supporters, a bag of deplorables? Those were people that she would be potentially, designated to serve. So, I mean, how does that look? That's not a good look. That's stupid. You're bashing the very people that you are sworn to serve. That doesn't come across very well. You catch my drift?
I agree. Calling names as a deplorables, I agree. But, you know, they make these mistakes. But, well, here's what Tulsi says, and I wonder, do you agree with it? Now, I know you might agree with it, Solution. I know you might. But there are a lot of, and there's a lot of Democrats, as well as a lot of Republicans are tired of Trump. There's a lot of Republicans are tired of Trump. Move on. There's a lot of Democrats are tired of Pelosi, tired of this bullshit. Move on. And they're thinking you're too old. Get the fuck out, you know? There's a lot of them. And that's why, you know, you don't know.
I have to laugh because I think of Biden when you say that.
Biden cracks me up. But Biden does crack me up. I got two words to say to you. He says, good morning, America, or something. What the fuck? Biden, his gas, he makes me laugh. He really does.
He is funny.
Humor.
There's no doubt about that. But he's a crook. That's
funny
the bottom
guy.
Line.
He's a
They're not
guy.
Going, ultimately, always bet on Trump. I don't bet a lot, but when I do bet, it's really not a bet. It's a sure thing.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be a sure thing.
It's pretty damn sure.
Party. I think they're ready. They're tired. I think they're ready to move on. They're tired of the Marjories, the QAnon people. They're tired of being associated with white racist groups. there used to be the party of morals and a party of family. And how can you
right.
be the party of family?
You were going to get on to
have...
Weinstein. I want to hear what you have to say about him.
All right, but I just want to end this. Okay, well, oh, the Honorable Weinstein. But here we go. So here's Tulsi Gabbard. This is what she had to say. And tell me if you agree or not agree. She says, I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party that is now under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warm.
Well, I agree with that.
Of warmongers driven by cowardly wokenesses who divide
yes.
us by radicalizing every issue and stroke anti-white racism. That's what she said.
Absolutely.
I think this is on her voice. Oh, it is her voice. Well, here it is. Let hear it from her own voice. Let me see.
Elitist cabal of warmongers.
Here it is. Okay.
I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party that's under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warmongers who are driven by cowardly wokeness, who divide us by racializing every issue and stoking anti-white racism, who actively work to undermine our God-given freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution, who are hostile to people of faith and spirituality, who demonize the police but protect criminals at the expense of law-abiding Americans, who believe in open borders, who weaponize the national security state to go after their political opponents, and above all, who are dragging us ever closer to nuclear war. Now, I believe in a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people. Unfortunately, today's Democratic Party does not. Instead, it stands for a government that is of, by, and for the powerful elite. Now, I'm calling on my fellow common sense, independent-minded Democrats to join me in leaving the Democratic Party. If you can no longer stomach the direction that the so-called woke Democratic Party ideologues are taking our country, I invite you to join me.
Hear, hear.
She also
has... You're breaking up, Brian. Your technology is...
Is that what? Mine? It's Blog Talk. I can only work on a platform that they give me, which is Blog Talk.
Oh, you're breaking up again. Okay, all right. But look, I think it was best shown. I think what she said is absolutely correct. That is a powerful statement. It's an accurate statement. But I think the Democrats, the cover was peeled back when the governors of Texas, the brave governors of Texas and Florida, sent those illegals to those so-called sanctuary cities. And now they're screaming like banshees. If they can't handle 50 or 200, what the hell do they think about the state getting thousands or hundreds of thousands? So that just betrayed their hypocrisy. It demonstrated their hypocrisy in a very, very clear way. So I just say hooray.
Now, am I still breaking up?
No, you're sounding much better now, much clarity.
Sometimes when I break up, that means people are tuning in. Forget it. I'm not even going to go into it. She has a new podcast show called the Tulsi, T-U-S-L-I, Gabbard, G-A-B-B-A-R-D show. She has a podcast she's on now, running her podcast show. So there you go. You can listen to her. She has a podcast.
Yeah, if I pass by a thread of hers, I will definitely listen. But, you know, I think it was, well, I mean, the Hollywood crew, I mean, I don't think they have a lot of fidelity. But they threw Harvey Weinstein, and I'm not showing any love to Harvey Weinstein for sure, but I do believe in justice. And I think they just threw him. He was a shunt, a lightning rod, how you say, a scapegoat. I mean, a blow-off valve. They just threw him to the wolves. It's BS what they convicted him of. They convicted him of literally nothing. And I don't think his case is much different from the Cosby case, although I do blame Cosby for getting himself into this. But the way he got himself into it it should not have been carried further, as the appeals court said. But, I mean, powerful men do that and did that and do that all the time. And women are okay with that. That's why the women were coming to him like they were. And there has to be quid pro quo. A lot of times the most important thing a woman has to offer is sex. That's why they have the casting couch. So if women want to get something, they have to give up something, usually sex. I was listening to the Pussycat Dolls. They have a nice song, that song, Feeling Good. I didn't know the song was that old. But basically the leader of the group said it was a prostitution ring. I don't know if you heard about that, but I think that kind of fits in with what you're saying, is that these women are prostituting themselves, and then they turn right around and ask the law to, you know, give them some sort of shield or defense when they are willing participants. And I just think it's crazy.
You're right. Am I still breaking up the solution? Am I still breaking up?
No, you're sounding well. Continue.
Okay. But you made a good point, and people don't want to face it. It's goods rendered and payment. See, the problem with it is that these women are prostituting themselves, and but there's not a deal going on here. It's kind of a nod, wink, wink, back-end deal, sometimes literally, meaning that I'm going to go in with the shortest dress I have on. I'm going to sex myself up. I'm going to see a producer, okay? They know what they're doing. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying if you're going to play the games, both players got to know the rules, and that's what happens here. So they're sexing themselves up. They go into the meeting, and, of course, you already know we're going to make it obvious, but it's going to be an innuendo kind of thing. We're not going to do it in a 9-to-5. We're not going to do it in an office where everybody's walking. We're going to do it in a back alley kind of way, 3 o'clock in the morning here. I might come over to your house at 1 in the morning. We're going to do it, so that's the wink, wink, nod kind of thing, you know?
But, Brian, I'm going to disagree with you vehemently there. It's not undercover.
Okay.
It's out in the open. We just may want to close our eyes to it and stick our fingers in our ears, but it's obvious. It's obvious to any seeing person. If a woman comes over to a man's house at 3 a.m., or if she goes up to his hotel room, and I've counseled women on this. I said, look, if you don't want to fuck a man, don't go on a trip with him. Don't go up to his hotel room. Stay in the friggin' lobby. So, I mean,
well, they fuck
it's,
in a lobby, too. I done it twice. It was really fun.
Okay, got it. But what I'm saying is just stay in the lobby. Don't go up to a man's room. If you, Brian, we have to get around your narcissist.
You know, one time, the solution, you know,
but if you really don't want to, I'm sorry, go ahead, Brian.
One time back in the day, it was a very exclusive hotel. I'm not going to say the name of the hotel, but it's, okay, I'll tell you.
I'm just kidding.
The Beverly Hills Hotel. It's the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I know that one well.
It's a very elitist hotel. I couldn't afford to stay there.
Hey, Brian, you tell me about wokeness, now you're telling me about your wokeness.
I was surprised they even let me in. But this is way back in the day, and then I met a model actress, and I said, well, why don't we meet at the Beverly? And she goes, oh my God, the Beverly Hills, the Beverly Hills Hotel. I got there first. Couldn't check in. I mean, luckily I snuck by the pool. I was just praying that they wouldn't kick me off the property before the girl got there. I just went right to the pool. You know, and she came in and the deucer said, did you want to get in your swimsuit? And it was right there in the lobby. Just gave her the old, I go, let's go and let's sneak in here. And it was kind of like a broom closet or something. And there you go. And I got out of there before they busted me.
Brian, you know, now
anyway,
you may get mad at me. You may get upset with me for saying this, but I don't too much give a shit as usual. But Brian, the thing of it is, you're always talking about your brokenness.
When you're saying it's out in the open, you just brought up your brokenness, and I'm saying, Brian.
Yeah. You're where money, you can just breathe and money will just flow up your nose. You just have to get the proper filter to you need a catchment, Brian. And maybe go to a therapist and ask your therapist to get your ego out of the way so you can allow money to come in. Because you're blocking money. But yet you're always talking about you're anti-wealth. Well, no one can get $1 million. Huh?
You say no one could get $1 million. You're going to have to quote me better. I said.
But you're telling people how hard it is, or it's not likely, it's impossible. All of that crap.
99.9% of people will not reach $1 million.
How do you know that?
1% or 1.5% or 2%.
Where did you get that figure from? Let me just say this to you. I heard you. Now allow me to retort. I want to retort. May I?
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to Dave Ramsey's show, he has a very popular show. Dave Ramsey has people call into his show, and they celebrate, number one, getting out of debt. People tell how much debt they were in and how long it took them to get out of the debt. He also has millionaires call in. And they explain to him their age. Did they have any inheritance? 99% of them, no, or it was very little. And they explain how they became millionaires and multimillionaires within a span, Brian, of 30 years. But they just have to do certain things.
First of all, we cannot validate who called. There could be set up calls, and they
hold
do
on,
it
hold
time.
On, hold on. There you come with your damn negativity. There's
we're
a book called
saying,
The Millionaire
how do you
Next
know
Door.
It's not set up calls. We do this all the time.
Hold on a minute. Just hold on a minute. We're not talking about you. We're talking about Dave Ramsey.
What do I
set up? And I've heard you at work, okay, and you're no Dave Ramsey. Excuse me.
Guys, how can
so
I talk is to you guys, let alone set something up with you guys and do a skit? Stop it.
$1 million is not it's not super easy, admittedly. That's why I talked about the minimum 60 to 80 hours a week. And that's exactly what these people do. So I would say listen to Dave Ramsey. He has this on a recurring basis, and these are fresh people calling in. He asks them their educational level, so on and so forth. Now, here you are speaking as a USC graduate. Telling people that they can't become millionaires.
I never went to USC.
Oh, where did you go to school at? Roostapoot U?
UCLA.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Okay, yes, yes. UCLA, a very, very prestigious institution of higher learning.
Just stop it. Why are you paying
for I said it's a very prestigious institute of higher learning. Institution of higher learning. What's wrong with that?
Well, it is higher learning, but you're painting it as an elitist. Oh, a very, very astute school.
Oh, it's the creme de la creme of the UC schools.
Last time I count, there are like
9 or 10 of them. So they are the elite schools in California, right?
That's true. That is true.
Well, okay, I'm accurate, Brian. I'm always accurate, Brian.
Can we move on?
That's another thing you might pick up from someone like me. Not me per se, but someone like me.
Are we ready to move on?
Well, let me just say this.
Either.
Yeah, and you put yourself down so much, and Robert Kiyosaki says in one of his books, when you say, I can't do something, your mind agrees with you. It shuts down. It says, okay. It agrees with you. Okay, I can't do that. But now if you just reframe that and say, how can I do that? Or how may I do that? Then your brain switches into a totally different modality of operation.
And it seeks the solution to the
particular conundrum.
Like you're saying, the Republicans – I think the Republic cats. You get what I did there? See what I did there?
Okay. I might, in your case, I might accept defeat in terms of your accretion to a millionaire. I may accept that in your case. I'm begrudgingly accepting that you can't be a millionaire, Brian. Well, why don't you shoot for a 100,000-aire? What about that?
I can't afford that. Let me tell you something.
Or half a millionaire, a quarter of a millionaire. Start small.
I live in a bar.
Go ahead.
I live in a Walmart.
Go ahead, but stop. Look, stop portraying yourself as broke.
I do the show on a burner phone. I live in a Walmart box, and I do the show on a burner phone. That's it.
Okay, proceed, sir.
Okay. Now, here's Harvey. Now, this is interesting because all kidding aside, I think Mr. Solution and I do agree what happened to this motherfucker. This is Hollywood in 2017, and we're talking about Matt Damon, Jennifer Lawrence, Oprah, Meryl Streep, et cetera. Look, I'm praising Harvey. They're praising Harvey. This is in 2017. Here it is, right here. You'll hear it yourself.
And I just want to congratulate Harvey and his wife, Regina, on the birth of their new baby boy.
Thank you.
Harvey gave us just what we needed, another him. Finally, I'd like to thank Harvey Weinstein, the Punisher, that's his nickname. The Punisher, yes.
Harvey, if I keep thanking you in public, people will think we're having an affair. But nonetheless, if you're choosing sides in the playground before a scrap, I would like to have Harvey Weinstein and Graham King on my side.
Harvey Weinstein, Bob Weinstein, God bless them.
My friends at Miramax for making this film, especially Harvey. And Harvey, thank you for killing whoever you had to kill to get me up here today. And to Harvey Weinstein, the tough guy on the playground with the biggest heart. Thank you for saying you'd do anything for your friends, and you always do. Thank you.
And then Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. Harvey and Bob Weinstein.
Thank you, Harvey Weinstein. I want to thank Harvey and Bob Weinstein, my agent, Kevin Uvain, and God, Harvey Weinstein. The Punisher. Old Testament, I guess.
Especially the bomber Weinstein, my godfather.
The better than I
Sometimes
do.
Sometimes I call him Jennifer as a pet name.
What? Okay.
I would like to thank Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein, who believed in us and made this movie.
Harvey, thank you to Harvey.
Harvey Weinstein for his commitment. And to Harvey Weinstein and everyone at Miramax.
To these Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein and Lawrence Bender.
Harvey and Bob Weinstein. You also break my heart with your uncensored passion.
But I have to thank Harvey Weinstein. And thank you, sir.
And of course, Harvey, who first took me on 20 years ago when I was a mere child sensation.
I want to thank the Mishpucha Weinstein, Mazel Tov.
The guy I'd like to really thank here that people don't thank enough, but there's a kindly, wonderful, gentle man that we all deeply love. His name is Harvey Weinstein. A little rough around the edges, but a heart of gold. And we do love you. And this is a good man. People don't know that, but he's done a lot of good things in life. They'll write an article about that someday, too. New Yorker.
There you go. They were praising him. Harvey Weinstein, the Honorable, the Great Harvey Weinstein. Now, that was Hollywood. And even,
you'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting these awards.
And Oprah praised him toast of the town. But if you listen to that, they kind of have a little clue in there, like God or Godfather or rough around the edges. There was some, and there was kind of snicker and kind of not quite right. They knew what Harvey was about. They knew what he was about. And it's like we were talking, and I was talking with Solution just 2 minutes ago. You know, and, you know, the wink, wink. You know, if you worked at a flower shop, you get to take home some of the flowers. Wherever you worked as a kid, you worked in a fast food restaurant, you took some of the burgers home. It's part of the perks from working in these damn jobs, you know. You don't get paid that much, but the perks are good. I worked in a restaurant when I was a kid as a busboy, and the chef used to make me in my break steak. It was a steakhouse. Steak, I had every night. I had porterhouse steak. I had pork roast. I had, oh, my God, steak and potatoes. I couldn't take steak and potatoes anymore. And he was a chef that they flew in, the French chef. I loved him a lot because I worked as a busboy in a steakhouse. Porter, you know, my briskets and just, oh, and surf and turf and lobster. I go to work in my break. I get lobster and steak. So you get what I'm saying. So the industry is no different. It's all about pussy. It's all about pussy. And the gay guys, it's all about dick. Acting is not an honorable profession. We have, you know, it's like you ask the guys, you and you go to music, and you ask the guy who plays the guitar, you ask Bon Jovi, you ask all these guys, why did you form a band? And they'll tell you the truth. And it's always the same answer. Ask Richie Sambora. Ask all these guys, why did you join a band? Why did you pick up the guitar? And they'll tell you, they're really honest, to get pussy. That's what it is. To get laid. Yeah. And, I mean, I went to school, went to university. I got hurt playing a sport that I love. My second major was film. That was my major. Study film. Why did I like film? Well, first I loved film. But the main reason, I'm going to get laid. The casting couch is calling my name. It's a perk. And it goes back to, you know, to this day, I can't look at cheerleaders. I can't look at cheerleaders. Because there you are, you're wearing your short little dresses, and you're lifting your legs up way up in the air, and you're not really interested in the game at all. You probably don't understand the game. Your back is towards the game. You don't get paid. You know how much cheerleaders? Okay, let's jump from high school to college. Let's jump to professional cheerleaders, which just shouldn't be a thing. You know how much they get paid? $25 for each game. $25 a game. If
even if
not much
unionized?
More than that. No, it's not unionized. It's run by the owners, and the owners have their own little cheer squad. Is that really a quote profession? Yay, team. But they get paid $25, maybe $30 a game. There are rules where you can't date the players. But the
Well, Brian,
are
you
there.
Make a good point. Brian,
yeah, go ahead.
You make a
go
good
ahead,
point.
Go
I like where you're going with this. But I'm torn. Are you really being accurate? They only make $25 per game?
I think it is. Let me make sure. Let me Google it, but I think it's
yeah,
like that.
Make sure of that. I mean, because you shouldn't just put that those faucets
out. I know
out
they
there.
Did make – wait a minute. Hold on. But keep talking.
And I think they unionized also. But you make a good point going from high school to professional college maybe and then to professional – being a professional cheerleader.
Well, wait a minute. When did this happen? They said professional cheerleaders, yearly salary. You're right. They must have went union because they went for 25. I don't believe this. I don't believe this. Hold on. Okay, here we go. One said between $8,000 to $15,000 a year. That is not true. So, okay, the other one, I don't know who put that up there. Here we go. This is more like it. How much does a professional cheerleader get paid? Therefore, Both professional and new cheerleaders get paid per match and annually. An average cheerleader is paid $10 an hour, estimating $75 to $150 per match. Per match, I don't know what that means. I think this is translated to an average of $250 per month. That's what a cheerleader gets paid, $250
per month. But now that's a part-time. Even though they're professionals, that's a part-time job, correct? Because even the games are seasonal.
Right. The games are seasonal. There are only like 14 games. So we're talking about $250 a month for 3 months. For maybe four if you're lucky, if your team makes it.
And let me just ask you another question. What's the average time spent per game as a cheerleader?
3 hours.
Okay, there you go. That's not too bad. But it's
$10
more than
an
what
hour
you said.
Or $250 a month. $10 an hour, you're talking about $30 for one game.
But now they probably get perks, too. They have perks.
Well, of course, and that's what we're talking about. So they're not there for the money. You know what they're there for. There's perks. There's events that they get paid for. There's parties that they get paid for. And the parties, they get to meet people. Why do I start getting – you know, when I was a kid, and sometimes I'll catch myself. When I was a kid, I used to stutter, had a huge stuttering problem. I stuttered so bad that you couldn't understand what I was saying. You know,
I still think you suffer from that.
I might. Sometimes if I get really hyper and everything, and you'll hear it a little bit. You'll hear it a little bit. I mean, in California, by the time I said water, there's already been a drought. You know, there's a drought already. Forget it. Fuck it. So, you're not getting no water. By the time you finish the
Brian,
work.
Brian, they probably get free meals. They get into the game free.
Okay.
Okay. And
well,
they probably get some medical. They get some medical.
Well,
and they get
no,
publicity.
They don't get medical. They do not get medical. They,
well, what if they get hurt? Okay, if they get hurt doing
well,
all those
professional cheerleaders,
somersaults
you're not seeing
and what
them,
have.
Well, you're going to college. You're going to college, and they don't have medical. Professional cheerleaders, you're not tossing them up in the air. These women who are 32 years old, 28 years old, you're just sitting there with their pom-poms. I guarantee you they're not tossing up in the air like college cheerleaders. We're talking pros here. I've never seen them.
Well, some of the professional cheerleaders, I'm sure they have some type of, maybe it's limited medical coverage, but while they're on the job, I'm sure they have some type of coverage. I would think they would. Am I wrong?
Only you would think about their medical coverage when we're talking about whores.
Well, they're doing sports. I mean, they're active and they could sprain an ankle. I mean, come on. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead.
You're going to denigrate what
there's,
I'm saying. Go on.
Okay, so there's a wink, 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 not going on. All the stars know what it is. When you get to a certain level and you want to, and you, maybe you want to settle down or you want to take a picture. See, I worked in both ends, and I'll tell you this. I'm trying to tell as fast as I can. There's so much information.
I know
when
you
get
did.
To a certain level when you're a musician or an athlete, you'll go to a fashion show. Now, you're not going to the fashion show to buy fashion. You're going to the fashion show to hook up. That's what you're going. Or you're going to a fashion show to get a wife. You're shopping. You're shopping around. Once you reach that 1% or that 2% level, you're invited to fashion shows because you're going to hook up with a supermodel. That's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Giselle and Tom Brady. We can go on and on and on. Levine, you'll see athletes. You'll even see Kanye West. They'll be in the front row on a fashion show. And you're thinking, why are they doing their fashion? It's because they're going to hook up with the supermodel. Here's how it works. When I was – I was never at the level these guys are, but I can only tell you the level I was at. So when I was coming up, I was invited to events. And there was three modeling agencies. There was one – I'm not going to name who they are, because you know who they are, but there is three modeling agencies who used to call me all the time. One was an African-American modeling agency. One was another modeling agency and their thing. I would be invited to an event. They would see whose names are on the event. The modeling agencies are there. They will call you up and they will compete, and they will have you come down to their office, and it will be the call. I'll get the call. The event will be in October 31st, whatever, 4 weeks from now. My agent will give me a call, says, so-and-so agency wants to talk to you. You're going to this event. My agent says you cannot go stag, and you cannot bring those little sluts that you sleep with. We got to put you into a category that you might be get your picture taken or you might be seen here. So we have to have you seen with the best of the best and not those little whores that you sleep with. And so my agent will give me – so they'll set up the time, and they will call me, and they – Mr. Jackson, and I go, yes, this is so-and-so from Molly AC, how you doing? Goes, so you're going to the event? Yes, sir. What kind of – and these are the questions they will ask you. Sir, we are very much aware that you would need a date for the evening. They will not use the word escort. It will be date. And to this day, when you look at the red carpet and all of a sudden you see these guys, you can see who's just matched with a modeling agency because the girls are just an accessory on their arm, you know, if they're not a couple, because they don't want you to go stag. A lot of guys will go stag, but it looks – they'll think if you go stag, you can't get a date, so it looks bad for the publicity. So they would say, would you like to come in the office? All coming off big, fancy, nice, fancy. Models there. It looks like a extreme whorehouse. Beautiful. You come in, you meet the person, and there's a book. It's like a yearbook or whatever. And you look through it, and they have their little prices. They have their little prices with them. These are models. These are regular models. Well, you know, for her, for that evening is, you know, it's $10,000. Well, it's $21,000. If you want the whole evening in limousine and she goes home, that's $35,000. You know, it's like that. It's nothing different. It's not anything different. So you say, okay, her. They go, then they ask the question, what are you looking for? Are you looking for tall, short, tall? Brunette, this and this, blonde, dirty blonde? African-American, they go through the thing, African-American. Big boobs, little boobs, pointy this, tall, short. You go through this whole menu, what you're looking for, and then finally, after about 20 minutes, they find out what you're looking for, then they bring you another book of nothing but these kind of girls. And you pick one, and you go, okay, very good. You picked Shamika. Very good. And then they'll tell you about Shamika. Well, Shamika's right. She just got back from Australia, modeling this and this and this. She is on her way to be a supermodel, and she's also in this. And then there's magazines, and you see magazines of Shamika. There she is in a wedding gown and a bathing suit. I mean, you're seeing everything about her. And then there's rules. You know, after the event, you cannot go home with these models. You cannot drink with them. We will not show you vote. We will not. I don't want to see any pictures of you and her drinking together. You cannot drink. You know, it would be rules. She's basically an accessory, and then she goes off the carpet. You go into the party. She's not with you into the party. She's not invited to the party. Go home. And she goes home. She collects her $5,000 or for $4,000 for the night. And in a premiere, it's really easy because sometimes they'll go with the premiere with the red carpet. She's there with the premiere.
Hey,
and
Brian,
it shows
wait a minute. You lost me. Okay. The agency, the modeling agency calls you up to pick a girl.
Yes. Yes.
To go to an event that they are sponsoring.
Yes. No,
and
no.
Then, of course,
the modeling agency. No. Not this event that the modeling agency sponsored. It could be a film event. It could be FKF.
Okay. Got it.
AFI.
All right.
They just want you to have a date. They just want you to have an escort.
Now, they charge
for that
you,
night.
Say, $10,000.
No. They don't charge me.
And I think you're being racist.
No, they don't charge me.
You use that particular name, but nevertheless, you're being a bigot.
What?
But that's okay.
What are you?
When
okay,
you
no,
use
no.
that name,
I'm
is
trying to help. They don't charge me. The agency do not charge me. I'm not buying them. What's buying is the production company, is whoever's doing their red carpet event. Is the one that they will take care of that. They take care of that expense.
And why are they inviting, okay, and this is not a negative, but why are they inviting you again?
to park the cars. I'm the valet parker.
No, no, no.
They don't
Come
have
on,
me. The
Brian.
Cars get
Are
old.
You a celebrity or something?
the cars get old in the streets and everything.
Oh,
but
geez.
I'm just I'm just saying.
You're frustrating me.
Of course I am. I'm just saying that this is how it works. So when
right,
when we have
right.
people who accuse Harvey Weinstein of sexual abuse or harassment,
right. That's
out of the norm because that's not how it works. They know how it works. This should not have happened. And when I reviewed the case of Harvey Weinstein, there's cases where I hear well-known actresses will come over to his house and then he would be in a shower.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be talking to them in a shower, but they still stay there and talk to him. Or he would invite them in while he's taking a shower, and they would stay there. And then when it's all over, they'll get upset and say, oh, my God, it was disgusting. I had to watch him shower. It's like, really, that's really disgusting to see a grown man shower? I mean, really, that's the movies that you make and the make-believe world and everything, and that's real. And so that goes into as abuse, as a sexual assault. See, these are the kind of things that kind of piss me off that even at the low level that I was, that's how the game is played. You know what
well,
I mean?
You know what, Brian? This is where I herald, contrary to my great friend and luminary, Sarge, this is where I differ with him, is that the salvation of heterosexual men will be transgender women because they would resist that kind of bullshit. Because, I mean, these women are marketing themselves. They're selling themselves. They call themselves models. But, I mean, come on. You're going to tell me that these women don't pick up money on the side by going home with the man? Are you telling me they don't change into their escort attire or persona at some juncture along this transactional continuum?
Well, that's it. I mean, when I go back to the fashion show, when you get to a certain level, you'll see athletes, musicians, whatever, go to the fashion show. You'll see them. They used to show pictures of them there, John Travolta, Tom Cruise, whatever. They'll be there. And what they're doing is shopping for a partner. They're shopping.
Yeah.
For a human being. And they'll come and that's what their publicity agent will be there, their agent will be there, the commercial agent will be there, pushing them to be at this event to shop for a partner or a woman.
And these women, these models will have an agent also.
So there was one part. I'm going to give one person. I'll give you one person, okay? Because I'm so general. But I'll give you one thing, and I don't know if anybody – it's already too late. Nobody's listening. Okay, I'll give you a hint. She was on Baywatch. I'll give you one instance that happened. She was on Baywatch, and that's not enough. Okay, she's a black girl on Baywatch. There's only been one black girl on Baywatch. You know who she is. Do you know who she is?
I don't. I didn't watch that a lot. I think I knew the Anderson woman, but that was it. And the guy
went
totally bonkers with the drugs, the tall guy, Mitch, I think his name was, the Knight Rider guy.
Oh, Mitch.
Did I say his name wrong? Okay. But look here, Brian, what you're doing, this is a perfect segue, and I do mean that, perfect.
Okay.
You create some great segues. It's why guys are going to, and I mean guys of all ethnicities from America, are going to other countries to get fit, feminine, and friendly women. They're abandoning U.S. women. Women of men of all ethnicities, and I do mean all, A-L-L, in quotes, with exclamation marks. They're going to other countries, whether it be South America, Europe, you know, they're just going to other countries to find attractive women. Because women in America are selling themselves on Instagram and all this other crapola.
and they're just making relationships virtually impossible. So guys are going elsewhere, either living in these countries or living part time. Go ahead, what?
Okay, I'm just agreeing with you. I was just going to finish the story, but I'm going
to... Okay, go ahead. Finish. Go ahead.
Well, so she first came, I was invited to an event. I didn't want to go to the agencies. We're wrapping up production. I had to go to, it was a short notice, it was just 3 days I had to be at this event. They get a message to me, he goes, you got to go here, you got to take this. And I go, I'm tired. Okay, so who happened to be auditioning that day, because what I was doing is they're auditioning them, and I was just sitting there looking at who would be my co-star or whatever. I'm just sitting there. And there was this black girl who was very beautiful, but I didn't like her because she had no titties. She was almost flat-chested. And so they came to me and go,
titty,
I go,
discrimination.
No titties. And they said, and I asked, who is this girl? And her name was Tracy Bingham. She then got the part of Baywatch. And you can look it up. And then I said, I never heard of her. She goes, she's up and coming. She's beautiful. She showed me, you know, I got her picture, her portfolio. I'm looking at her portfolio. She's auditioning. And they go, you like her? I go, she has no titties. It's a dude.
Okay, what size was she approximately?
When I first saw Tracy, she was maybe a B. She was maybe a 32B.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
Hinting to C.
Okay.
And it was like, poor girl.
I don't like breast enhancements personally. I think that's a no-no, but go ahead.
That's true.
I don't think that's health. And I don't have as much experience with naked women as you do, but I can usually spot what they call implants.
Well, yeah, it was a thing. It was a thing in the 90s and everything. But here's Tracy Bingham. Here's how she – this is her speaking. It's 2 seconds. Oh, they're just going to do music. I thought they were going to have her talk.
Right.
They're just – I hate when they do this. I should
– But big breasts, let me say this. Large breasts do tend to look better.
Okay, wait a minute.
I mean, it will attract the eyes, large breasts.
That's
and I'm
true.
Saying
what?
They don't even have to be a D, but go ahead.
Okay.
They don't have to be that large.
Here's Tracy. Wait, here's Tracy. We're running out of time, but here's Tracy. Listen, they're going to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, go ahead.
Thousands of women to audition, Tracy landed the role of the very first woman of color lifeguard, Jordan Tate, on the television series Baywatch. Lasting 2 years, it would be the most successful of her career. A couple of years later, Tracy's beauty and body was put on full display in the pages of Playboy magazine for a Babes of Baywatch pictorial. Also around this time, she married musician Rob Vallier. The marriage would be a short-lived one, though, as they divorced just 3 years later. For many years, Tracy has been a diehard supporter of PETA, or People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. She's appeared in advertisements wearing a bikini made of lettuce, as well as fully nude for the organization. When her acting career cooled down, Tracy began appearing on a number of reality television programs. In 2004, she was in the second series of The Surreal Life with castmates Ron Jeremy, Vanilla Ice, Eric Estrada, Tammy Faye Baker, and Trishelle Canatello. 2 years after that, she crossed the pond to England to appear in Celebrity Big Brother, where she made it to the final six contestants before being evicted on the final night of the show. She selected Families of SMA as a charity to receive a donation from her participation in the show. The objective of the charity holds a special place in her heart since her niece died from spinal muscular atrophy. More reality show appearances followed in 2007 and 2008 when Tracy appeared on VH1's The Surreal Life Fame Games and won the $100,000 grand prize. And Fox Reality's Gimme My Reality Show, competing with six other celebrities in an effort to land their own reality show. 2014 would turn out to be a very interesting year for Tracy when she got caught up in a couple of scandals. Earlier in the year, she allegedly had trouble paying the bill after she and some friends enjoyed drinks and shots at an exclusive club at Fenway Stadium in Boston. Eyewitnesses claim that after multiple attempts to run her card were unsuccessful, her sister and other members of their crew scattered, leaving through different exits. Tracy was never charged. Then, in December, a Massachusetts court issued an arrest warrant for her after she failed to appear in court regarding a breached adult entertainment contract she signed in 2012, in which she agreed to participate in a very explicit photo shoot for what is commonly referred to in erotica as a facial.
Wow.
After taking the $30,000 advance, Tracy didn't show up for the production. The company sued and was awarded a $180,000 judgment. Since 2015,
whoa,
Tracy hasn't made any new acting appearances. Instead, she's focused mainly on reality shows, which resulted in her last appearance to date in the show Battle of the Network Stars in 2017. Much of the reason for her absence from the spotlight can be attributed to her relocating back to the Boston area to help take care of her mother, whose health was declining. Tracy's been mostly living a life away from the media and public, and only occasionally doing local appearances and autograph signings. One great way fans can continue to reach out to Tracy currently is through Cameo, the website that allows anyone to connect with their favorite star and request a personalized video message for any occasion. Thanks for watching. Please like, share, and comment.
Oh, that's damn sad. I didn't know that shit happened to her. That is damn
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, let me ask you about a specific item there. How about that 180K judgment? How
yeah,
is she faring on it? Did she pay it off or settle?
No.
Or what?
I guess she went downhill after me. No, they said they didn't, but they didn't go after her. It's a sad thing. Doing
facial,
can you imagine? She was like, maybe she was a C coming up from a D-list star, but was signing a pornography shoot that you would have a facial. You know what a facial is, don't you, Mr. Solution?
I think I can guess what that is. But look
okay,
here.
Okay.
So they get, but they fronted her 30K, and then they got a 180K judgment. And I'm
right.
trying to get clarity on where that is.
I don't think she paid
know.
It. No, I'm trying to tell you, she didn't pay it.
Oh, man. Well, you know, what they can do is get a judgment and keep
they probably
that
made
judgment
a deal.
Alive
trust
and
me.
Go after
trust
her.
Trust me. Trust me. Nobody lost no money. They made some kind of deal. Trust me. They made some kind of back-end deal. Trust me. You know
so you're
saying
they settled it?
I'm thinking that, yes, they did.
Okay.
She did a
okay,
little,
I guess. What
probably
do you think
did a little
happened?
Slurpy, slurpy. Huh?
Hey, it's Brian, you're just portraying women as sex objects.
No,
quit
I'm
that.
Not portraying women as anything. I'm saying there's women in certain fields. In certain fields. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
In this field, how they dispose, women are very, I don't like the field because women are disposable. That's it. They have women in the entertainment industry, and I don't like it, and I hope more and more women get into the positions where they're producers and directors and of power. And even when I was coming up, there was one group that
wait,
I
wait,
wanted
wait,
to belong
before
to.
Before you finish that, let's put a comma and then say they will exploit other women. Correct?
I don't know. I don't know, but
you know about Playboy.
What about Playboy?
Isn't that run by Hef's daughter?
No, Playboy's out of it. Is Playboy still in business? Because I know Hef, they filed for bankruptcy. Hef lost the match.
It said that Tracy posed for Playboy.
That was back in the day. That was back in the day. That was like, you know, in the 90s.
I think they're still in vogue. Oh, wait a minute.
I don't
Tracy
know,
was back,
but
oh,
I know
I
Hef
know,
died. Did you know that – we're getting off the subject. Did you know that Hef did the same – pulled the same bullshit as Ava Kabor? Is it Ava Kabor? Well, what happened is that Hef ran out of money. Nobody was looking at Playboy anymore. I mean, Playboy was losing all the money. Playboy went bankrupt. They went belly up. They had to get rid of the mansion. Now, Hef made a deal. Whoever bought the mansion – they had one of the deals was that Hugh Hefner had to be able to live in one of the rooms. So if you bought the mansion, the deal was Hugh will still be living there. That's the deal. Now, they did it with
not
Ava Kabor.
Not wearing his robe, I hope, but go ahead.
I don't know, but that was the deal. That was the deal. Somebody bought the mansion. Hugh was living there. Eventually, he died in that room. And I think they sold them. I'm not quite sure what happened. It would be a great...
Well, I think I read an article. They bought the mansion for the property. They were going to tear down the mansion and construct...
I think you're right. I think you're right.
...some new property. But, yeah, he did have a deal to where he was supposed to live in it until his demise.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
And Ava had the same... Ava Kabor from Green Acres. I can't get... There was two of them, but I think it was Ava.
Or was it Jaja?
I think it was Jaja. I always get...
One
Jaja
or the other,
had a deal.
The Gabor sisters. Go ahead.
Right. Jaja had a deal like that, too, that they went belly up. They were Lucy Bunny left there. And she married some crazy guy and called himself the prince. He called himself as a prince, and all he did was spend money, and spent all her money, made her go bankrupt. So she wanted. So she was selling her house, and that was the deal. If you bought the house, Jaja was still living there in the room. She could not be evicted. That was the deal. So they bought this couple bought the house, and they fed Jaja. They said they hardly saw her. She stayed in her room, and she eventually died there. That was the deal.
Right, right, right. Well,
so going back to Tracy. Now, if you Google Tracy Bigham, you're going to notice that her huge tits, I think they're like double D. Huge tits.
Oh, wow.
When I saw her, she was, like I said, she was B going to C. And they said, let me introduce you to her. Let me bring her to you. I said, don't bring her to me. They go, well, she wants to see you. I go, she does not see me. She talks to this guy, and this guy will lay the message to me. And that's how it was. And the guy goes, she very much would like to see you. I said, no, I don't want to see her. She very much would like to sit next to you. I do not want to sit next to you. You know, that was a conversation. And then finally at the end, I mean, she had a great body. Finally at the end, she comes to me. I see her walking to me. My eyes are really big. I'm thinking, this woman's going to kill me. She's bypassing protocol. It's protocol. Protocol. So she marches to me and introduces herself. Hi, I'm Tracy. I go, I know. She goes, it's nice to meet you. I go, it's nice to meet you. I said, I like your read. She goes, thank you. And she goes, can I sit down? I go, yeah. She goes, so, you know, blah, 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 small talk, blah, 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 small talk. Maybe we can get together for a drink. I go, maybe. And then they're whispering, saying, take her to this event. And I said, no. First of all, she's a nobody. Second, she has no tits. And so
this is
Tracy.
Prior to, I thought you said she had the double D.
Not yet. So she sat there.
Go ahead.
And then she says, well, what do you think of my read? I go, you need more tits. She goes, what?
Just like that?
I say, yeah, you need more tits.
Wow.
You're too flat.
Okay.
I didn't hear a damn thing because your tits are so small. She started laughing. I laughed because it was so outrageous. It was so outrageous.
About how tall was she?
Oh, God. 5'7", 5'8"? She wasn't that.
Because you said
she kind of was short.
Baywatch with the,
she was short.
She
Wait
made it
minute.
On Baywatch with the small tits.
No. When she went to Baywatch, her tits got big. You look at Baywatch.
Oh,
she got cleavage.
The implant.
She got cleavage and whatever. And that's the story. I saw her a year later and a year and a half later. She got those tits. She goes, Brian. I go, hot damn. I'm hearing everything you say now, girl. We started laughing.
Well, let me just say this. You know, that's unhealthy. You know, Anna, whatever her name was, Anna something something.
No, Anna Nicole Smith.
That married the billionaire.
Anna Nicole
Smith. She got these huge implants that caused an infection because, you know, there's only so much skin. Right? There's only so much skin there. And these things
and
were
the
bursting through her skin and causing
and
an infection.
Exactly.
Huh?
The first implant, they later developed better implants, but the first one, you're absolutely right. They used to bust.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about
body.
The implant. Yeah, I'm not talking about the implant itself bursting. although that does happen. But that was supposed to be some sort of saline solution. But nevertheless,
right.
I'm talking about the actual skin that houses the implants, the natural skin burst because she was just overindulging. She was getting implants that were too large for her actual skin frame. And it's not healthy. I think women who get implants, unless they are, you know, have had a breast removed or something,
I don't think that's healthy. You know, I mean, women are getting butt implants, man. Ever since Kardashian going, they're getting butt implants. Look at Madonna. She just completed. They got butt fillers.
And a lot of them
are
dying from those operations, too.
Yes, they are. And I mean,
because
you know,
some people are unscrupulous, and they're shooting like caulking.
Cement in there. They are.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and
it.
They're,
look,
they're
I say a man should choose a woman the way she is and maintain that. Don't do these enhancements. It's not healthy.
What I'm saying is that the Kardashians did that, but what I'm saying is part of. I'm just so confused. It's just nuts. But let me get through this. So, yeah, you're right. When you think Botox is a health item, is under a health, do you know that's poison? It is paralyzing your nerves when you shoot that poison in your face. And they're just thinking it's a natural thing to get rid of wrinkles or crow's feet. They're actually putting a needle between your – on your forehead to paralyze your muscles. I don't know what women do for beauty, but that's not it. Here we go, Harvey Weinstein. So you heard everybody praise Harvey, and they went to this. This is Harvey Weinstein at a second trial in Los Angeles, only 4 minutes. Here we go.
Harvey Weinstein facing justice again. His second rape trial now underway in the city where he once reigned as Hollywood royalty.
This day is long overdue for Mr. Weinstein.
This bitch, this whore, this lech, this grave digger, Gloria Alvarez, is at the bottom of this. This is her. This is her, Gloria Alvarez. All right, here we go.
Came to appear in a Los Angeles County courtroom.
This comes 5 years after bombshell allegations against Weinstein ignited the Me Too movement. He's charged with 11 counts of rape and sexual assault, according to the indictment. Multiple survivors are expected to testify, including documentary filmmaker and actress Jennifer Siebel Newsom, who is also the wife of current California Governor Gavin Newsom. Weinstein has always maintained his innocence, pleading not guilty both in L.A. and New York, where he was convicted and sentenced to 23 years in prison for rape. The former media mogul was extradited to L.A. last summer.
Who serves 23 years for rape? I mean, I guarantee you, I mean, I don't know the docket, I don't know all the cases, but I guarantee you a lot of those rapists are out there are out within 10 years, 5 years, 7 years. I guarantee you. Who spends 23 years in prison for rape, and then you go to another state and you're going to spend some more time and found guilty? It could be like the rest of your – who spends a life sentence for rape when there's people getting out for murder in 6 years, 7 years, 15 years? This guy is made an example of. This guy – and the reason this case is so important that most men should pay attention to this case, because this is the case that started the Me Too movement. This is the case that started politicizing men and started hating men. This is the case that allow women to go after men. This is the case that allow women to target men and put them away. This is the case that allow women to ruin a career on an allegation that he made me feel uncomfortable, because we're going to use Harvey as an example of the retrain you men. Because you have this rape culture. They even came up with this slogan called a rape culture addressed to men. This is a disgrace. The reason this is so important is because we're just telling you all these stories above that there's certain things that go with certain things, and you may not like it. You go back to your musician. You don't want to hear that your son, who's practicing in a garage, who's 16 years old, who's practicing the garage with a guitar, that his only mind is like, I don't care about the music. I just want to fuck someone, Mom. I'm here to get laid, Mom. That's why I'm a musician, Mom. I'm here to do drugs. I'm here to do wild parties. I want to get laid and my music. The only one who's not saying that is the drummer. If your son's a drummer, don't worry about it. You're not getting laid, and he's not there for the music. He's just there. But that's just how it is. And when you go in there and you got your little girl as a cheerleader, and you start her off as a pageant girl, right? So when she's 6 years old, she's 7 years old, that little whore, and you're dressing her up like a little whore or a saloon girl, and you think it's so cute, and she's bouncing around in boots and little dresses and red lipstick and all that at seven because she's in a baby beauty contest, what are you training her to be? I'm thinking that if I was anybody, if you were even half a decent person, if you want to arrest pedophiles, you arrest all those mothers who put these kids at a very young, like 5 and 6, in beauty contests, arrest them all as pedophiles, and arrest them all. And I don't go with this, and since this word is a new word, I don't agree with the new word, but I think it goes with this. Because when you're saying that the Democrats have this cabal and they use these words, QAnon, use this word called grooming, in this case, I would put it in this case. When you are thinking that your little girl who's 6 and 7 and you're entering her in a contest which is worth $5,000 because you're in debt, you're prostituting your little girl and you're putting her in cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and makeup on and have her do her routine. And her routine is not a kid routine. If you look at these routines, these little girls, where they think it's so cute, it's kind of controversial. You know it. It's fucking what I'm saying. So you are grooming your little girl to be a little whore and call it for what it is. Oh, look at the little, we ought to call them what they are, little whores. And you're doing it, and these kids should be taken away from you. And so these little whores grow up to be teenage whores and drug addicts and misfits and everything because they cannot amount to – because they lost a contest. They came in second or they came in third. They're never number one. It's not good enough. So mommy tells you what to eat and what not to eat and how to sit and what not to sit and what friends you cannot have and you cannot have friends. And you study these musicals and you dance like a little whore, dance, whore, dance. And then they grew up to be adults. And you groomed them this way. It goes with the terror. And so what does that mean? And, I mean, what does that mean? Well, people like Harvey Weinstein, where do these little whores go? They are attracted to Harvey Weinstein. We go with the joke. We go with the wink, wink, wink. Where the model or the actress says, yes, I hear that you're doing a big movie, and I'd like to meet with you. At 2 o'clock in the morning at this, you're on location at this hotel room and you can't go anywhere else and that's the only time you can see me? Okay. And you're dressed like you know what you're dressed like. You're not dressed for a business meeting or a corporate meeting out of respect and you shake the hands. You know damn well you're meeting this motherfucker at 2 in the morning at a hotel. And here's where it gets dicey. Here's where it gets dicey. We know the deal. And the deals are not set. So here's the deal. I meet with you. The deal is, okay, you're gross, and I would never look at you. You're a toad, but you can make my career. It's like you're sickening. I can't even look at you. I'm throwing up in my mouth just looking at you, and you're taking off your shirt, and I'm trying so hard not to vomit and drown myself in my own vomit. But I'm going to stick around. And without saying anything, maybe I'll touch it or whatever. I mean, he's not really actually saying anything. I mean, he'll pull his pants down and then while he's dressing, and you might say, oh, what a nice tattoo that you have by your balls.
Hey, and Brian, whatever, I think you're spot on this, if I may.
I'm almost – I got 3 seconds. And then you do what you need to do. But then you go home. But you're not closing the deal. You're not saying to him verbally – if I do this, will you give me the part? You're not saying that. But you do what you're doing, and you're thinking, all right, I'm going to get the part. I'm going to get the part. And when you don't get the part, that's when the shit falls apart. That's when you're saying, can you believe that motherfucker? I went to the hotel and that night, can you believe this ugly troll did not give me that bullshit that he promised he's going to give me? Now I feel rejected. Now I feel like, what the fuck? And he gave it to that other bitch? What did she do to him that I didn't do to him? I'm humiliated. I'm crying sexual abuse. I'm crying sexual harassment now. This man made me come to this hotel at 3 in the morning. I have a case. He's such a powerful man. I couldn't reject him. He will ruin my career. I have a case. He came on to me, and I got the hell out of there. Who's going to? This guy's a sleazebag. I got all these other girls who probably did the same thing. They will back me up. And all these other girls who didn't get the part because of this sleazebag, they're going to be on my side going, yeah, he did the same thing to me. He did the same thing to me. He's done. Because it still goes back to the thing about, and it's only because you did not verbally seal the deal. Nobody said, if I sucked your cock, would you give me the role? That has never been said. It's just, it's part of the deal. I don't have to say that. If I say it, it makes me look like a prostitute. It just goes with the deal. Men, don't think it's just women. There's a lot of men, and I'm going to tell you something. James Dean used to be famous for this. Directors used to call James Dean in when he was doing his movies, and James Dean was like a sex toy to these producers and directors, and James Dean had to suck a lot of these directors and producers off. They used to trade him around. He'd go to a director, then they would trade him to a producer, and James Dean would get on his knees, and he would suck them off. That's what James Dean used to do. It's part of...
That's disgusting.
You didn't know that? Yeah.
I never
straight
heard
men.
That.
Yeah.
Don't put
straight.
That out. That may be bullshit.
Well, it's true.
I hope it is.
True. There's a lot of
You're
other
talking
stuff
about
that,
a guy, right? James Dean.
Yeah,
with
men,
a,
it goes, straight men are also involved in this. Straight men want parts, too. Straight men will go in there, and they're straight men, and they find themselves sucking dick or licking balls, and they find themselves in a position where they're getting fucked up the ass. Straight men are doing this for parts. It is part of it.
Now, Brian, did you do that?
No, I did not. I am a straight man that I never had to do that.
You wouldn't tell if you would, if you did, right?
I would.
I don't think it's as prevalent with men. Listen
to me. I don't know how much time I have. If I did, one thing about me on this show, and they know on the show, if I did any of that shit, I would come out and say it. I own what I did. No, I didn't have to do that. When I got in, when I was a little kid, I was on Sesame Street. So I already had this little thing going on here. Then I went from that. Then I went to modeling. So I did the right way. I didn't have to do that. I'm not saying all men. I'm not saying all actors go through that. A lot of them don't. But
right.
I'm saying that it is known that there are some people who are desperate enough to do desperate things, like in all profession. I mean, you don't have to be an actor. That happens when you're an accountant or you're a boss or you're fucking your CEO or getting to the top. I mean, I'm just choosing the acting profession. This goes on with every profession. It goes. I bet it goes on if you're a manager at McDonald's. I bet you $1 million that goes on. You know, they do a little sucky-sucky with a Happy Meal, and next thing you know, you're the Big Mac there in that company. They moved up. It goes. And any human beings, it goes with it. How you got there.
Well,
head cheerleader, there's a reason they call it a head cheerleader. There's a reason they call it a head nurse. There's a lot of things. It goes on. What's
Brian,
wrong with
you? Brian, I got to give you the ultimate sick award.
All right, I'll accept it.
That is outrageous that you would say that. Oh.
Yes. True. We got it.
Brian, just this quick blurb. I was watching this documentary on it was a legitimate documentary on porn. And one of the things that they do, they have all these attorneys that protect them. Now, I heard about Ron Jeremy. He's apparently getting jacked up. But my point is the porn industry appears, and I do put the word appears, immune from this type of scandal because they have so much protection, particularly First Amendment protection, and they get young women. Now, they pay them quite a bit of money from Nowhere USA. These women fly in. So they fly into Florida, L.A., these places, and they fuck the guys. They perform. I'm just going to say it like it is. They
right.
have sex. These are
right.
not necessarily what you call celebrated whores. They're just they're kind of like girls, and they may not be that loose. Now, it really hurts their families when their families find out. And they don't tend to do too well. They don't save the money. They pointed out, you know, it was a documentary. It went into how the girls, they make a lot of money, but they blow it all, basically. But my point is that, and this dovetails to this Harvey Weinstein thing, they have so much First Amendment protection.
Mm-hmm.
And they had several of the attorneys speak that they're able to get around any of these accusations. Now, why doesn't Gloria Allred and people of her ilk, and I do think she hates men. She's a misandrist. But
yes.
Why don't they sue the porn industry? Now, that's an open question. Why don't they go after
how
them?
How can you sue the industry? I mean, that's like suing. That's like saying suing.
No. Okay, maybe
industry.
Allow me to rephrase that. Why don't they allow women to complain about having received trauma, and I'm sure some of them do,
because it's each individual production under the umbrella of that. Sony Pictures, I say Sony. You're making a movie, Sony Pictures sanctioning the movie you're making. So, but it's under I Don't Give a Fuck Production. These are the people who are making the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're responsible what's going on. Okay, for instance, Alec Baldwin. When Alec Baldwin shot that woman, remember? Alec Baldwin shot that woman?
And killed her, yes. Go ahead.
And killed her. Well, I don't know who's going to – they're redoing this movie, by the way. The update on that is the guy settled with Alec Baldwin. We don't have enough time for this. He settled with Alec Baldwin. Not only did he settle, the guy's husband settled with Baldwin – settled with him, not only settled with him, made a deal that he's going to get a percentage off the movie, and he's going to drop the charges against him. This is how dirty the business is. So his wife got shot by Alec Baldwin. She's a cinematographer. Mm-hmm. Her husband said, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to make a deal with you. And Alex goes, what? The deal is she's dead. I can't bring her back. And Alex goes, oh, I'm sorry. Well, forget that. I'm going to drop the charges if I'll do a settlement with you, and it probably involves $1 million. And not only we do the settlement, that I want to be part of the movie, and not only do I want to be part of the movie you're making, I want to have a percentage of the movie. Alex said, deal. That's the deal they made. Talking to the devil. This is how bad the business is. This motherfucker's Alec Baldwin just killed your wife, and you made a deal to be part of the movie? And take the
okay,
settlement?
Hold on, Brian. I see almost what you're saying. But look here, that's different.
Yeah.
That's in a different category because I
Isn't
don't
it?
Think Alec Baldwin, although he did kill the woman or he participated in killing her,
right.
I know it wasn't murder because he didn't do that intentionally, and he certainly didn't do it with malice or forethought, or there's no evidence for it. No, all I'm saying is that none of the women, and I understand what you mean about the subsidiaries and this sort of thing.
You
do. But see, what I'm saying is none of these women are ever able to come back and go after production companies. See,
but
that's what I'm saying. Why are they so
But you ingratiate yourself. But to ingratiate yourself to let's do a profit on this. About money, greed.
No, I get it.
Okay,
well, you know,
what kind of morals do you
dead,
have to?
I mean, and it is business. So what is he going to do?
I mean, don't know.
That's just like accepting an insurance settlement. Go ahead.
I don't. No, 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 no. Accepting a show. Okay, you could have stopped right there. I could understand him saying, let's do the settlement and let's leave the courts out of it. It's going to go. It'll take me years to collect this and the movie and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to strike while it's hot. I can understand him saying, let's go for the settlement. Oh, okay, I got the settlement. But to ingratiate himself saying, I want to go further, I want to be part of this. You shot
right.
my fucking wife, dude. I already gave you the settlement.
That was an accident. Don't you think that was an accident? It wasn't intentional.
I don't care if it's an accident. You still killed her. It doesn't make it feel
better.
No,
come on. Well,
okay,
look, I understand the emotional part, but look, I'm a little bit detached because I'm removed. But I do understand that was really someone else's fault. The person who is responsible for checking those weapons and making sure there are not live rounds in there with the blanks. That wasn't Baldwin's fault. Now, maybe he wouldn't have put the gun to his head and pulled the trigger, but he was trusting on some other professional. You know they have a professional gun person there, or several professional gun people. I did listen to...
Yes, they did.
I listened to an expose or a... it was a type of a documentary, but I listened to an analysis of what went on, and that was really the fault of the professional gun person. They should have checked those rounds before they were fired.
I don't
you
know.
You
got to
do a fresh
wrangler.
Check.
Could
huh?
be. Now listen, could be. Now listen, I only got 8 minutes. Now I can continue.
All right. Well, look
with...
here. You have a great day.
No. You're going to like this. Listen to me, because I'm going to read this really quickly. It's only going to take 2 minutes. What I'm saying is, I promise. You know, there's people who believe in ghosts, and there's people who see ghosts. Do we believe it or not? Now, I promise, giving you the 7 reasons you see ghosts. So, if you're one of those people who are seeing ghosts, I'm going to explain why you're seeing ghosts. And I'm going to go through it. It's only 7 of them, Mr. Solution, if you want to talk about it, because you're a spiritual person. Number 7.
Yeah, and what I have to say about that is very brief.
Yeah. Is what?
It's very brief. God says don't do it. Don't get involved with those kind of entities. I do believe they exist. I know they exist. But I don't deal with them at all. I have a priest bless my home, and I'm excluded from that sort of...
You possessed motherfucker. Not many people will... What are you having a priest... Who thinks about having a priest come to their house and bless their home? What is going on with
I'm
you?
I'm the priest.
Who are you pissed off? What?
I'm the priest.
You are not a priest, Mr. Solution.
Yes, I am.
When did you get to be ordained? When did
you
get to be ordained? No, you are a foul mouthed motherfucker.
Well, look here.
You say the word.
You
say the word. What kind of priest? You say the word "fuck" every 5 seconds. What kind of priest are you?
When I interact with certain low frequency operating people and low brow people. Sometimes I do act inappropriately, and I don't feel good about that.
I'm sure you don't. You kind of, what do? You douse yourself with holy water after this show? Here we go.
I ask God for forgiveness just like you can.
God is forgiving you. God has a sense of humor. That's why he invented me. Stop it. Behave yourself. Here we go.
Well, you know, you are one of my worst. You are one of the less ingratiating things that I do. I mean, certain people, and that's my downfall. Is that sometimes I interact with people that I shouldn't, and I have
saying?
To wean myself from that sort of interaction. Oh, really? I
Do you
That's
hate
one
yourself?
Of the worst things that I do, and I feel guilty about it.
Do you
interacting
really?
With some people is sin. It is.
Right. So interacting with me when you come on a show, what do you do after we hang up? Do you ask God for forgiveness? What do you do?
Usually it doesn't get that bad. I don't allow it to get that much. I kind of have fun with you. Although, you know, just like the other day, I was going through some papers, And I remember you said, so you can say amazingly stupid things. I'm not saying
you're
stupid, but you can say some amazingly stupid things, like when you said the value of the dollar is increasing. Well, yeah, it is on one level, but on the macro level, it's actually greatly, it's taken a dump, it's taken a dive. And
right.
You didn't
understand
that.
I understand. I got to rush you because I got to give you the seven reasons.
All right.
And by the way,
since you should have given me a lot of time earlier.
You know what I'm going to do? Since you're a priest, I am going to, as of next week, I'm going to try to be ordained on the Internet. So I will be also a clergy through the Internet. And you could go through my little
That
thing.
Would be beautiful. Even if it's just a beginner's trial, that'll be beautiful, Brian. My hat's off to you.
Here we go.
Sarge comes in. It's a great innovative aspect of you or facet of you. And the closer you get to God, because when I asked God about you, he said he didn't have a record of it.
When I asked Jesus
and
about
go,
you,
wait a minute,
Jesus,
God, I said, you know
oh,
everything.
Come on. When I asked Jesus
he,
about
I
you,
I said, wait
Jesus
a minute, God,
going,
you know everything. You're omniscient.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I do, but I had just cast that to the side. I said, well, please reopen his case.
Listen, here
and
we
this
go.
This may be evidence of your case being reopened, Brian.
I advocated on your behalf, literally. I appreciate it. I do. All right. I got 1 minute. Here we go. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Solution for coming in today. We're going to run out of time. And I want to thank 708, who hasn't spoke a word for about a couple hours. And 708 is right here from Chicago. I want to thank 708 for coming in. There's six other people in here that are 111 that I tried to open up during the songs. They didn't answer. I want to thank you guys for listening. You're probably at work. Thank you for listening and supporting me. Here we go. The seven reasons why you see ghosts. Here it is. Number seven, your mind is playing tricks on itself. That's what happened. In recent years, neurologists have identified potential basis for the feeling that someone or something is haunting us. Research suggests seizures. You're having a seizure in the area of your noggin that possess visual memory and spoken language. Wow. Okay, here we go. Number six, the reason why you see ghosts is because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's what happens. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we don't have enough time. Apparently, Mr. Solution soaked up your time, so I can only read the headlines. But it's very interesting how they say that, and I'll do more tomorrow. Here we go. Number five. You're getting some bad vibrations. That's another reason why you're seeing ghosts. You're getting bad vibrations. Number four, the reason you're seeing, your brain is unwell. You're mentally ill, and there's a reason for it. Ghostly occurrences can be a result of larger problems in our gray matter. For some, hearing voices or experiencing a vision can be an early indicator of medical conditions such as schizophrenia. Here we go. Number four, why you see ghosts. You need a little company. You're a lonely bastard. The apparitions in the movies like The Grudge and the Amityville Horror will stop at nothing to chase down their human victims. But ghosts aren't terrifying. Research suggests that the brain may summon spirits as a means of coping with trauma. You just need a little company. Number three, I guess. You'd rather not risk it. This is why you see ghosts. It's easy to discard the notion of paranormal activity like Mr. Solution in broad daylight, but everything changes when you head into the dark basement. Unfamiliar and threatening environments kick our survival instincts up a notch. If you're walking in the woods and you see movement, you can make two errors, said Michael Elk. As a professor of psychology, you can either think it's nothing and it could be a potential predator, or you can think there's a predator and there's nothing. That's how we evolved a cognitive basis towards the latter mistake for good reason. And the number two reason why you see ghosts is you want to believe. People want to believe. I know that ghosts have wandered on Earth, so people want to believe that they're here, so they see ghosts. And the number one reason why you see ghosts is, I guess that was it, you want to believe. That's it. I want to thank Mr. Solution and everybody for coming in. You guys are great. Thank you, Mr. Solution. I'll see you guys tomorrow. And that's it. We're out of here. I did it in 7
All right,
seconds.
Brian. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye.
My lover's got
talk to you guys tomorrow at 7 a.m. This is Brian from Hammer Jackson. Bye.
Everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak. Fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolute. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to